This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details. FUBAR!
Hey!
Hey!
It's just our last day.
It's our last day. Hello, it's Richard Herring here. There's Lulu with Sarah. She's nearly falling off the stool. She was a bit late, but it doesn't matter. We're pre-recording this. And yes, it's our final show for FUBAR Radio. It's not you, it's us. Don't worry, it's not your fault.
It's a little bit your fault.
We had to, you know, it just wasn't working out for us with you.
Daddy's got a new family now.
That was our fault. We're off. We've been offered a big contract at the BBC, ITV, and Channel 4s.
So
we're going to do all of those shows. And there isn't time no more to do this show. But thank you for having us. Thanks to everyone. And bye. Oh, no, we've got to do the rest of the show first. And so here is. Very aptly, pop will eat itself because my pop ate himself. and please, Asian, please, what the fuck? Don't understand what that is. So, yeah, we've got a packed show coming up. We'll tell you all about that very soon. There's a man talking.
When you say a packed show, I've prepared absolutely nothing.
We've got nothing ready. Have you got anything for What's in the Bag?
Nothing.
No. We might not do What's in the Bag this week. Just for a change, there might be nothing in the bag except our existential angst.
Richard Herring and Lou Sanders, ripping you a new ear hole.
I wonder if they'll get those, the other stings we wrote. I wonder if they'll get put together. I mean, you know, maybe by the end of the show we'll have those, the ones we wrote on the first
they'll
day.
They'll give them to Peacock and Gamble.
They could do, yeah. They're still here. So we've got a fantastic show coming up, it's final show. We're not going to just take this easy and tread water. For the next 3 hours, because, you know, what are they going to do? Fire us? They can't. We already resigned. But we got the usual shit coming up. We haven't got What's in the Bag unless we come up with something very fast.
No.
We've been given cacti. As a parting gift,
What's in the Bag? Because I just
which is, you know, I was at Six Music for a year and a bit, and they didn't give me anything. I've only been here for 3 months. A little cactus. Imagine if we'd stayed here for five. That would have been a massive cactus if we'd stayed here.
I feel like a turnabout now of attitude. I feel like, let's just stay.
Should we stay?
Yeah, let's stay.
You know, they'd let us stay if we wanted to. We can make that decision. We'll think until the end. We'll see what we feel at the end.
I mean, at least two people have tweeted that they want us to stay.
Have they?
Yeah.
That's more than people that are actually listening to the show, so that's pretty amazing.
We love this show.
What's coming up in our week. We've got that coming up. We've got guest Andy Parsons.
Yes.
From off of Mock of the Week and from off of my flat in Hereford Road in 1990.
No way.
Yeah, I shared a flat with him in probably 91, actually.
You know everyone.
I do. I've got all sorts of secrets about him. I'll be reading out Russell Grant's horoscopes for Tuesday. That'll fill up 5 minutes.
Mm.
What else is it? Have you got any of your stupid stories?
I've got some food.
I've got some food. I've got some sushi. I'm a little bit worried. I've got sushi for lunch. We're recording this on Tuesday. In the kind of morning, which is why we're probably not going to be as good as usual because I'm pretty tired.
But I bought
some sushi for the last hour because it'd be kind of lunchtime then for us in our world.
Mm.
But I'm worried that in the heat of this studio, that sushi might go off. It's very warm in here.
I mean, it's got some preservatives in. A couple of vowels, Dickie, you should be fine.
Should be fine. I've got a banana here, so I'll be eating that later. This is all some of the things that are coming up.
Can you imagine on an actual radio show if someone said, I've got some banana here, so I'll be eating that later? Have you listened to Richard's...
Something to look
Richard
forward to? the rest of that banana. I'll make sure I'll eat it while we're on air. So you'll get
that. I've got a banana here. I'll be eating that later.
You think some of your stupid stories? I'm doing some of my stupid vlogs, probably, if I can find one I haven't done.
I've written nothing. But I tell you what, because I didn't bring What's in the Bag. I've written no stories. This is the first weekend that I've done that I've not prepared anything. So, everything that I'm supposed to do, every round, whatever it is, I'll just do a rap on a topic that you give me.
Okay, that's good. We'll look forward to that. There'll be lots of rapping.
As a punishment for me, but also for the listener.
It will be a punishment.
And Rich, also for the listener.
The listener, I get it. There's some songs coming up. We've got Squeeze and Double Trouble and Rebel MC coming up pretty soon on the old... And the music box player we've got here. But I found loads of... I was looking through old boxes in my attic instead of working this week.
Mm.
And I found loads of old cassette tapes. I don't know if you know what these are, Lim, because you're quite young.
What are they?
Well, in the old days, when you wanted to listen to music, you could either get a big wax cylinder and turn it, or you could put some tape. It was like a long tape, and you put it in a machine, and it would play a kind of tinny version of whatever you want to listen to.
Those Victorians had some wacky ideas.
They did. But I found stuff from the 1990s. I found quite a few Radio 4 pilots that never got made, like Bob Says Who, which was a precursor to Shooting Stars. Bob Mortimer was the host. I think Sonia was on it, the singer Sonia. That
loved
dates it.
Sonia, she was so smiley.
And me and Stuart Lee had written, was one of our writing jobs. We wrote for that. In our early days, I found a Leon Herring cassette. I'd never thought we recorded any of our live tour shows, but there's a recording of one of our live tour shows. Most of it, interestingly, whoever was recording it was literally recording onto this tape, this C60 tape. So when the first off goes on a bit longer than 60 minutes, there's a big gap, and then he realises it's turned, and then turns it over so that it picks up the end of the show.
Amazing.
Or the end of the half. I wish I should have brought this in, we could have played this. It would have been almost exclusive enough to play it here. I found a serious cassette of Stuart Lee singing his own pop music compositions.
No. that's amazing.
So, I don't know. I mean, I'm so tempted. I'm tempted, A, to try and sell it to the highest bidder, because I could wait till he gets a bit more famous and it'll be very embarrassing for him. And, yeah, that could be my... That could keep me going. That could be my pension, that tape.
Yeah.
Or I could just give it back to Stu, who I don't think owns it. It was actually not that bad. I mean, he's a bit earnest, you know, but he is, isn't he? He still does that. He still plays songs at the end of his... He likes to get his guitar out and plays song.
Yeah, forgotten about that.
Yeah, he thinks he fancies himself as a singer. He would like to have been a singer. I don't trust any comedians who would rather be pop musicians, and that's most of them, to be honest. I always wanted to be a comedian, and, you know, some would argue I failed to even be that. But
it would be amazing now if you got a pop career, wouldn't it?
It would.
You'd be the envy of all your...
I would. Well, I was thinking of doing it because I'm doing this show, Lord of the Dance Settee, at the Edinburgh Fringe. It's 10:45 at the George Square Theatre every day.
We're going to miss each other's shows.
Oh, well, you're going at the same time as that?
10:30.
Oh, Lou, you idiot.
You get a day off?
No one will come and see you now. You're on the same time as me.
You get a day off?
I don't.
Hop in.
I was thinking of trying to, and instead of spending £5,000 on posters, which I think are useless, I was thinking of trying to make me a CD of me singing Lord of the Dance Settee and try and get that into the pop charts.
I would just...
Do I just
spend
burn
the money? Spend the money on a holiday or a settee that dances.
But I thought I could, you know, I could do it for charity, though. I could spend the money, and then if it sold anything... If you got everyone to buy it on the same day, it would be good, you know. I'd get some proper musicians in. If everyone bought it on the same day, I think you can get into the midweek charts if you could persuade, like, 3,000 or 4,000 people to buy it.
Yes, but you were only just put 2 minutes ago criticising other people for trying to do songs.
I know, yeah, exactly. That's part of my shtick, though. I think that's part of one of my jokes in the show. We'll see.
Oh,
I saw you last night. I saw you doing. We did two gigs together, just coincidentally. Tryout gigs in London.
Tryout for a gig.
Well, we're both testing new material for our shows. Well, you know, Lou wasn't. It wasn't really. Really material, but it wasn't very. She wasn't very. I wouldn't go and see her show. That's just between you and me, listeners.
You were laughing.
I was laughing, and you can probably hear it. You taped it and put the leather thing near me, so you can hear my laugh all the way.
Yeah,
through.
Yeah, all I cared about was with you.
Well, you know, I was laughing at you rather than with you. Unlike with my wife, who I laugh with, and when she's not laughing. We did some gigs the other day, so that's all very exciting. So I don't know, is there anything else coming up in the show?
Shit, mate.
I'm going to eat a bit. I wasn't very. It didn't go very well, I didn't think. But
no, I enjoyed it. I'd heard some of it. Though.
Yeah,
well, I really enjoyed the stuff I hadn't heard.
But the stuff you. I'm just eating my banana. The stuff. Stuff that you had heard hadn't heard was old stuff from We're All Gonna Die, which I'm doing the DVD record of on Friday. If any listeners are in the London area, hey,
do my joke again. Because, if any listeners, hey,
it was a good joke. I'm going to give
back.
You. If there are any, if there's anyone out there, because you're nice,
just keep doing it.
There's hardly anyone listening to this, so I can give them this. I've got a secret promo code for people I like to get tickets for £10.
I like the FUBAR listeners, and I like FUBAR Radio.
So listen, if you want to see, We're All Going to Die on Friday night. If you listen to the repeat, it's too late. Friday the 23rd. You can get tickets for £10 instead of £15, so £5 saving. And also on Friday, you get a free DVD worth £12.
So
you'll be £2 up. Call 020-3108-1000 and quote RH-promo code. I think you'll just probably say RH promo
code. That's right, honey. I'm just helping.
Then it's helping. It's really helping. You can get £5 off a ticket, and then I can have a full theatre for my DVD record. It's going all right. I might, you know, so book quickly because it might be sold out by the time we get to this.
That's not likely, honey.
It probably won't be sold out, but it might be. So anything else coming up? We'll talk about our day. I've got. I'm going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about breakups and endings.
Are we?
Yeah, though nobody has emailed, no one's tweeted about this subject. I thought it would be a good subject, but not. You know, last week's show about smash technology, thousands of responses. This week, bad breakups.
To be honest, it could be to do with the time. It's, I mean, it's people early morning on a Tuesday, isn't it? People at work.
It is. People might be working. We've got... I'm going to talk about having my sebaceous cyst removed in the next...
That is very hot.
It is good. I'm going to talk about... I talked about smashing my iPhone last week, obviously, but I'll talk about the next round of Me One versus Me Two running.
Oh, God. I'm all ears.
We've got to fill the time, Lou. You know, you haven't brought any stuff in to do.
But could I do a rap about running? Yes, I could.
You could do a crap about running.
Yeah, and that's with... What's the lady who...
Paula Radcliffe, who did a crap while she was running.
Yeah, but oh,
go on, give us a rap about running. I'll lay down a beat.
Okay.
Boom. Boo, ba-doo, boo,
oh, no,
boo.
That's really...
Digga, 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 boo. Ba-doo, ba-doo, boo, boo.
That's not the beat that I...
Boom.
That's not the
okay,
beat
I'll just do it with that beat.
No, I can't... If anything, the beat is putting me off. Okay.
I'm pretty fly. I'll just eat my banana while this is going on. So if you're a banana-eating fan, listen to my bit. If you like rap, listen to...
I bet there's some people, there's some saucy buggers out there that love... watching people eat, but there's something for everyone, isn't there?
Do they like listening? No, it's a bit. I'm going to eat it. It's a bit brown in the middle. This banana.
I like it. A little
that's
brown.
That's banana. Update.
A little brown on the inside. I mean, know what I mean?
I don't really know what you mean. I like my bananas like I like my cocks brown on the inside.
Oh God.
I actually hear the producer groaning at that.
I like my bananas like I like my cock. Medium and fruity.
Are you going to do a rap about running or should I play a record?
Peeled? That's... That means Jewish.
You like circumcised. Well, you know, a lot of, or American, or just had some kind of foreskin, too tight foreskin.
No, I like Jewish.
Do you like Jewish, do you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. Same. Once you've had Jewish, you never go back. You know what the old saying is?
Yeah. Is Raj Jewish?
Okay, all right. Yeah, so Dickie's running fast. No. Wait.
Wow, it's really... Wait. I tell you, if we weren't leaving, we'd be fucking off the air next week anyway.
Well, at least they're not queuing up me eating a banana.
That was good. The banana thing was good. That was replacing what's in the bag.
Everybody, about 11:30, I'll be eating a banana, so stay tuned for that. Okay.
Don't give the times of what time it is now.
No, I'm going to do my rap about running, if you don't mind. Okay.
Off we go. Two, three, four.
Okay, got it. Okay. Dickie's running slow at 5 miles an hour. He got no power. His little legs are getting up fast. He's carrying so much weight. This will never last. He's going to crush himself under his stomach. He's real in a flummox. That's
the... What the fuck? A, I can run 6 miles an hour. More than that, I'm running at... I'm doing 8.5 mile a minute.
Okay, it's just a song.
Under that, 8 minutes, 15 seconds a minute. Mm-hmm. I was doing. So that is 6 or 7. Mm-hmm. Probably 7 miles an hour I'm running. I could be... If I ran now... And at the start of this show, I could be probably like in Reading or somewhere by the end of the show. Let's do that. That could be a good end of the show. See how far I can get in 3 hours if I run at 8.15 minutes per mile.
I've got meetings, mate. We're all busy.
Well, let's see how we've heard Lou sing a song. Let's see if it is as good as Double Trouble and Rebel MC's music. Well, the jury is out. Let's have a listen. Cut. This is them singing now.
Go for it.
That first bit was Lou.
Do your best.
That's Lou there just singing into her microphone. I'm finding it slightly offensive. That was Double Trouble. He's Double Trouble. He's a very bad boy and Rebel MC.
Yeah, well, guess what? I'm Triple Trouble, baby. You miss. you better watch it.
Cool. So,
cool.
Yeah, so we've, what was I going to say? I'm just trying to email Stuart Lee about this this Lee and Heron recording, because I think we're going to try and release it as a download to try, because we're trying to bring out the TV series This Morning of Richard Not Judy, which probably you were probably too young
to
watch that.
I'm aware of it.
On DVD, but we have to buy it from the BBC for about £50,000. So,
sugar.
So we're thinking of releasing this this old recording of us as a download, which will probably cost about £5, and and then if we'd only need 100,000 people to
that's
buy
a
it,
really
no,
good idea.
10,000 people
buy it,
to buy
and
it.
It's an investment for them if they want to see the other stuff.
Yeah, but that's actually not too. 5,000 people might download that, which then would then pay for the costs of the thing. So that would make life a bit easier for us. But I'm just sort of emailing Stu and Chris Evans, not that one, Chris Evans from Go Faster Stripe, about how we do that, because we need to fill in the gaps. There's a very, very long protracted thing. We used to do this routine. The only bit I've listened to is the end of the first half. And it's a routine where Stu says, we used to have a teacher called Egghead Geddes. And I go, oh, was he clever? Was he a bit of a boffin? Mm. And she goes, no, he, every day he came to school, we had a little bit of egg on his head. And then it goes on. And then I say, and I had a... Oh, yeah, that's interesting. We had a teacher called Knucklehead Target. And he goes, oh, he was a bit tough, was he, Stu? Stu was going, tough, was he? He used to beat you up. No, every day he came to school, he had a bit of knuckle, like an animal's knuckle on his head. And it just goes on and on. And then it goes, and then I go, finally, we had a teacher called Smackhead Thompson. I go, oh, he smacked you, did he? Because you slap him on the head. No, Stu was a heroin addict. It was very sad. He died in the end. It's inappropriate that you were laughing there. It's very sad. And then I tell the story of this guy's life, which I'm obviously making up on the night. And Stu's interrupting, questioning some of my points. And it goes on for, I mean, it's a real precursor to both Lee and Herring's solo work, in that it's a very, it stretches the joke.
Right.
Beyond
is it
reason.
Is it funny or?
It's kind of funny every now and again. And then we don't even get to the end of the routine. The routine is interminably long, and then it cuts off, and then the next thing is the person doesn't realise in time. We might talk about we might do some modern day catch up in the thing as well.
I think Lee and Herring would have been better if Stuart Lee had interrupted you every 5 minutes. Go, mm-hmm, honey.
If it was every 5 minutes, that would be fine. It's the fact that it's every 5 seconds.
Also, when you're trying to send an email about business, I kept interrupting. You
did. I was trying to do an important thing. I was trying to, for once I was trying to do my admin, but I do my admin, while the records are on.
I'm putting on mascara.
I know,
Richard's
I was going
talking.
To tell them. She's got mascara. It's important you look nice for the radio.
I've got an audition after.
Have you? What are you auditioning for? Can you talk about it?
Some old rubbish,
Sounds good.
So I want to look my medium best.
Is it presenting work, acting work, prostitution work?
I can't say any more than this. I can't say any more.
No, okay.
I can't, but it's not a Burger King advert. It's definitely not.
Okay. Well, I've had quite the week of it, Lou.
Please tell me more.
Well, first of all, the Me 1 versus Me 2 running that you mocked worked very well. It was Me 1 to Me 2, you may remember from last week.
Yes.
Ran my 6¾-mile run, which I think might be a bit longer than 6¾ miles, in just under an hour. It was unbelievable, 59 minutes.
Yeah.
And Me 1, it was his turn this week, and he was very tired, it was very hot, and I thought there's no way I can beat that. Mm. And Me 1 was thinking, I'm not even going to write, I'm not going to, it's pathetic to try and rise to the challenge.
Which one's the ego one?
Well, they've both got quite an ego on them, but Me 1 is the more respectable married man who presents a respectable facade.
I'm on his side.
Are you? But Me 2 is the renegade.
Actually, I like that guy.
Yeah, I think you would like him more. He's the more kind of I was going to say Jimmy White, but I think the other guy, Ian Parrott. He's more like Ian Parrott, John Parrott. And anyway, but I ran it in. We ran it between us, the three of us, in 57 minutes, 22 seconds.
How long?
So well, it was a minute and a half quicker than before. So that's like eight minutes 15 seconds. I don't want to bore you at home. Eight minute, 15 second hours.
What about
hours.
Me? I'm trying to have a nice day today.
You're getting paid to come in here.
I'm trying to have a nice day today.
Yeah.
And you're not helping, are you?
But I'm just saying, it's a brilliant sport technique because it pushed me onwards.
Yeah.
Because Me 1 hates me too. I didn't realise how much because he was... Because he really wanted to beat him. He was really worried about being beaten by Me 2, having to get home and tweet, Me 2 is still the record holder. And Me 1, halfway round, was thinking, you realise he was a couple of minutes ahead halfway round. And when it was going, I can't wait to get home and tweet. Everyone and everyone know how great I am. He's very egotistical and arrogant. Yeah. And, you know, no one would care. I mean, I don't know why Me Too thinks people would be interested in you. Tweeting and saying it on the radio.
This girl certainly isn't.
No. So anyway, so that was very exciting. But also yesterday, Monday, I had a very serious operation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I've still come into work. I've got stitches in. I've got everything. I had a sebaceous cyst, which is...
disgusting, is what it is.
It is pretty... I used to have one on my neck when I was a young man, and I didn't know it was a problem. Yeah. And my sister used to love to squeeze it.
Ugh.
And honestly, the most disgusting stuff came. It was right on the back of my neck. I eventually had that one taken off, because it really stunk. When you squeezed it hard enough, all this white stuff came out of it.
Yuck.
And it really... It smelt like, you know, death, really. I suppose it's death, some kind of dead material. The producer's not very happy about this. But I had another one on my back, which was unsqueezable, I have to say.
Yeah.
I'd had it for a while, and then...
Did Katie give it a little... Your wife tried...
My wife did not like it. She said she was worried about, you know, the health implications for me and what it was, and it said it was getting bigger. I did have one similarly about 3 or 4 years ago in almost the same place that eventually went septic or something really big, and I was in agony, and then I had to have antibiotics, and then it exploded and went away. So,
oh, God.
But it came back again. So I wasn't bothered because, well, who cares? It's on my back. I can't see it.
You should care, and you should.
It's on my back. She doesn't see that when I'm on top of her, pumping into her.
Oh, God.
It's my wife. I'm allowed to pump into my wife. Well, I'm in there. Oh, this is what I do.
Have a nice...
Look at my face. Look at my... This is what you could have had if you just got in there a bit earlier than just... I'm in her.
And
she can't see, can she? I mean, maybe she can feel around if she was wanting to touch me and touch it, and that would be there.
But what if she's standing behind you, cuddling you in the showers, women?
That doesn't happen.
Oh.
It doesn't happen. It never happens. We only touch each other in bed with the lights off, missionary position, with me going, She doesn't really make much noise or movement. She just seems to lie there.
She makes noise. It's crying, but she doesn't
she does cry. She
just
does sort
silent
of sob
crying.
Silently a little bit. But that's because of the beauty of our lovemaking. It's so beautiful it makes her cry. So anyway, she didn't like it. So I consented to go to the doctor who advised the removal of it. But the doctor, the GP does it. You don't go to hospital, the GP does it.
Well, it's very minor.
But the GP, we got in the room. I got to the room and said, oh, I haven't got the right room, which, you know, you're worried about. So could I sit? So she injected me with this stuff. And they said, oh, it's good, really. You have to wait 10 minutes while we get the room. And so I had to sit there with this, you know, with the anaesthetic in me, just in the spot. That had hurt a bit, you know, because they get pricked in with the pricker, they call it. And then when we got in, she couldn't move the bed up and down.
Oh,
or around, so I thought, you know, this woman is going to be...
I thought you'd be private.
This woman, Nana.
But you are a bit of a socialist, aren't you?
I'm NHS only. So she was, you know, she was going, oh, it's a bit like a comedy, isn't it? So I wondered whether she knew that I was a comedian, because she was sort of trying to do that sort of stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But then it was all right in the end, but obviously I was lying down,
did
so I couldn't...
Did she say you can include that in your act?
She didn't, but she was trying to be cool. It felt like she knew who I was, but I don't know, maybe she didn't. I have written about the bush doctors, they're called. I've written about them in the Metro, but it amuses me, because they're in Shepherd's Bush, but they're called the bush doctors.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like they specialise, not even on the vagina, just on the pubic hair around the vagina.
Oh, I thought you meant like bush doctor is in, I didn't even get that.
I know, but it is, that's what they're joking about, but I'm, you know, as a comedian, I see the double entendre of...
I didn't see the
double entendre. No, that's why you're not a great comedian like me, because you've got to be able to spot bush.
Judging on last night, mate,
bush.
I was better.
Yeah,
think
that's not what the audience was saying.
They would rather listen to me than you, banging on.
So, anyway, she started, they kind of... put the scalpel or whatever on it and said, you should feel a bit of pressure, but you won't feel anything else. And I said, well, I can sort of feel it like cutting. I can feel like it cutting into me.
Mm.
And they're going, it'll probably be all right. And then she was working on it. And I was going, it's kind of hurt. I don't know how much this is meant to hurt, but it is hurting a little bit. So I didn't want to look like a baby.
A baby, yeah.
So I was just there going, yeah, it's fine. And then she was digging into it. I guess I could feel I could feel it. It wasn't like really painful, but there's a bit of pain, and I could feel the cutting. And then she cut something that hurt quite a lot, and I flinched, and she said, "Oh well, I better put some more anaesthetic in it."
God.
So that was quite. So I could have just. It was like being in the old time doctors where they just got on with it.
Yeah.
With a bit of anaesthetic, but then they put anaesthetic in, and it didn't hurt at all, really. But occasionally she went when it went deep, but it was really went on for ages, and apparently it was really deep into me this thing, much more than you expect. And because I couldn't see anything, but I could hear them behind, so you think something's gone wrong, isn't it? They're whispering to each other. So I'm in trouble here. And then a different nurse came in, the one who was meant to be there to finish up. And she was because she was, and I could hear going, "Oh, I love. It's a shame you started early. I love this. I love doing these." So they loved these kind of surgery procedures, and they hadn't got enough thread to sew me back together again. So I was even much bigger than they thought it was going to be. And then the nurse
haven't got enough thread. I mean,
yeah, the nurse they'd prepared a certain amount. It was obviously it'd taken ages. It had just gone on forever. And then the new nurse said, "Oh, was it spurting? There's blood everywhere on the floor."
Oh no!
And she said, "Oh, there's footmarks in the blood on the floor." So without me knowing, my back of it, you know, they'd obviously while they were whispering, they'd hit something and like shooting blood had come out my back. I wish I'd been able to see. That would have been cool. Although I am very, I thought it'd been a good thing to bring in for what's in the bag.
Yeah,
my sebaceous cyst.
That would have been. Absolutely.
But they didn't
brilliant.
Even show it. I was thinking when I was lying there, I thought, I wonder if they'll show it to me afterwards.
Yeah.
Because like if they take out your pancreas or something, they often put it in the jar and go, hey. I'd quite like to see it, but I am, you know, if I'm watching TV and there's anything remotely with blood, I can't look.
No.
We were watching Louis Theroux the other day on Netflix and he does one about plastic surgery and I couldn't. Oh, it's awful though. Would you ever have you had any work done, Lou? You're so beautiful.
I look like I have.
You're
don't
so beautiful,
I? But I have not had any work.
Everything's
done.
So firm. Given you like nearly 40 now. It's you know.
I'm not nearly 40, and yes, it should be firm because I'm so young.
Yeah.
I've not had any work done. I mean, I don't.
But would you have work? It's so horrible.
I'd like to say no. I never thought I would, but then as you get older, you sort of think, oh. Like maybe if I had kids and my tits went really saggy, then maybe I'd have a little lift or something. Okay. But I don't think so. I don't know.
Why
knows?
Bother?
Never say
all
never.
These people were, you know, on the Louis Theroux thing. All these people were nice looking enough, and you know, the receptionist at the place was just getting obsessed about everything. So she'd had her boobs done, and then one of them was a bit saggy. I mean, they were big boobs, and they were showing them.
Yeah.
So that's kind of weird because it's your boss.
Yeah,
the guy's her boss, and
he's
in there prodding her breast, and then
going,
"Oh, wow, look at this one. This one's sagging a bit." And you go, "Well, hey, if it is sagging, that's your fault. You've already done them. You should do that for free." I guess she gets a discount.
Yeah.
But then she's going, she wanted her nose done, and then she wanted this done and that done. And then she was,
really
she'd had her
sad.
Stomach done, but then, and they'd had to recreate her belly button. So she had this odd looking belly button. And then she was going, "Oh, but look, I've got these bits of fat round here." And she was a pretty, she was
really,
a pretty girl, and she had
really
a nice,
sad.
Characterful nose. And then they took her nose down. And it's just like...
But in Chinese medicine, they say that you shouldn't really put anything foreign into your body. And that's what put me off. Like once I had a coil and they said, even that is bad for the imbalance. And I believe in all that stuff, don't I? So actually, I don't think I would because I think, I mean, spend the money on counselling.
You don't put anything into your body, do you? No foreign object goes into your body.
Just Evian and my own sticky digits.
Cool. All right. Well, look, that was all very exciting. We'll get back to you with... the email in, phone in, is about endings, because this is the ending. I thought it'd be quite good to get good and bad breakups and stuff.
Yes.
And so far... Not a single human being has tweeted me about it.
Should we just make some stuff up? Oh, no, the producer has got some.
There's been some emails. I think because it's a longer subject. I've got some good stories about breakups.
Have
I'm
you?
I'm sure that you have, Lou.
No.
I'm sure you've got... I mean, you know, we could probably fill a whole series with those. But for the moment, we will return to, at last, some decent music. This is about Clapham Junction, where... I used to live quite near to Clapham Junction with Andy Parsons, our guest. I didn't. I lived in Acton with him. I got confused. Anyway, it's up the Junction by Squeeze. I never thought it
would happen. Hey, it's just a
last
day.
Up the Junction there. The Michelle Collins from EastEnders in the video for Up the Junction.
She was a sassy old thing, wasn't she?
The tense changes there in the middle squeeze. It's a bit confusing. So it's telling a story and then it goes, then this morning at 4:30 I got up rather shirty, whatever it was, 4:50 I got up rather nifty. And then it carries on. So it's like, it's confusing. It's a bit like Avril Lavigne's Skater Boy. Which again is saying about something, and now it's 5 years later, or something like that. So maybe that's that one again. But they both do that. It's a very confusing poetic technique that I do not approve of.
If you want to know more about that, I mean, just email Richard.
Well, I'm making my point. I hope that Squeeze and Avril Lavigne are listening, and I hope they will not make the same mistake again. If you put Avril Lavigne, Richard Herring into Google,
you'll
find lots of pictures of us, when we were going out with each other, kissing and stuff. But you'll also find a blog Lou believes. Lou's looking at
I
me all believing
really
it.
I was really confused. Oh my God.
Lou's believing it. You'll find a blog I wrote about Skater Boy. I might read it out.
I have real problems.
We got some time later. I might read it out. I'll read it out for you later on. That can be my blog.
I have, do you know, I don't really have problems with many celebrities. I just think, oh, that is just, you know, they're just living their lives. But Avril Lavigne, I had a real problem with just because it's so inauthentic, isn't it? It's probably not her. It's probably the record label and everything else. But yeah.
You know, we've been doing this for 3 months and you still haven't learned that you've got to talk into the mic. I mean, it's
I'm
this
talking
is not,
into
well, it is
the
now, but you
microphone.
Can't just start going like this and go, oh, I just talk.
Yeah, well, guess it.
Oh, go here.
Yeah, well, guess it. Guess he did it last. Guess he did it last week. You got told off by the producer.
I did it on purpose,
you
like I was being like Stuart Lee when he goes and faces the wrong way on the stage.
I've never been.
I was
told
subverting
off.
The genre of radio by. Look, I'm going to subvert it by just talking into your mic over here. That is real subversion of the radio format. I'm going to do it with both. Radio format because we were both off then, so no one could hear anything we said, and I said something rude to Lou. It was exciting. So we were going to do a phone in about an email in about just went off mic there by accident. Sorry about bad breakups, good bad endings, or good breakups.
Yeah,
we've had one in from Daniel Marshall. I'm going to make this last because this may be the only one we've got. I haven't read it. I haven't pre-read it. Back in my school days, a few girlfriends didn't like the girl I was seeing. So, I mean, I think that means friends who were girls rather than I had loads of girlfriends and one of them didn't like the girl I was seeing. Mm. So borrowed my phone and to text her the following. Suzanne, you look like a man. You've got a ginger C word.
That's
you
horrible.
Cunt. You runt. And you've been dumped by Dan. We're supposed to go to a gig with her and her friends that evening, but thought it best not to. Needless to say, that was the end of us seeing each other. Why don't you just tell her that it wasn't you who did it? Obviously it wasn't you because it says you've been dumped by Dan. That doesn't.
Yeah.
If he was dumping you, he wouldn't have said that, would he?
It's horrible.
Looking forward to the gig in Sutton Coldfield tonight. Yeah, well, you might be Daniel, but that's happened in the past. That happened 2 days ago from the perspective of people here. It's the future to me. It's the past of the people listening at home. And that's exciting. Would it be too fanboyish to wear my Keith Allen shirt? I paid more than a pound badge and asked to get my Fist of Fun annual signed. The problem is, Daniel, I'm responding to this after it's happened. So, you know, what's the point in having the, what would it take for you to fill a Keith Allen T-shirt if you're not going to wear it? And, of course, I'm very happy to say hello after gigs and to sign any merchandise you may have, including if you've got Fist of Fun annual. I do occasionally get asked to sign those. They're a rarity.
Mm.
They sell for £50 or £60 on... Oh, they don't sell, but they're upped for sale for £50 or £60 on eBay. And they're good. It's a good thing.
I'll probably just nick one from you.
I've only got one. Kit Lovelace, and I think I've only got one because someone
That'll
gave
do.
Me one.
That'll do.
It's good value. I think you can see most of it online at fistoffun.net. You can read it online. Kit Lovelace has been in touch with Lowe. He's got a blog, and I think it might be as if he just to go to that. It's called me, myself, and iTunes.wordpress.com. He says, I once broke into my ex-girlfriend's flat to leave her some presents like a demented Santa.
Oh, that's nice.
It's not if you've broken up.
Oh, you've broken up. No, yeah. It's not so nice.
That is weird. That happened to me once with one of my ex-girlfriends. It was sort of nice, but also sort
of... What, she broke in to leave
Well,
presents?
she had keys to my flat.
Oh, dear, so
I don't know
sad.
How she got... We'd only been going out about 3 months. I don't know how she managed to wangle keys off me.
Yeah.
But when I was away on tour... I'd been quite unhappy on the tour because of the breakup and stuff, and she had a son that I'd forged a meaningful relationship with as I was missing as well.
Yeah.
So it was quite a nice thing. She sort of came into my house and left loads of appropriate presents on my bed, but then that was also like, that's a bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a bit, it's stepping over a line, isn't it?
I mean...
When you've broken up.
Yeah.
Is it a play to get you back? Is it, you know, is it just being friendly? It's a little bit more than friendly.
But you get presents out of it.
Yeah, that's true.
No, it's not horrible. It is horrible, isn't it?
Kit Lovelace says, other than that, though, I've been an absolute... Oh, no, he had another one. All the time I chased a girl to the airport to declare my love, only to miss her completely. You can read about that.
That's so out of a film, isn't it?
Yeah, it should happen, because that's all that would happen. If you did that, you would. It's very difficult to find people even when you're with them at the airport if you break up. And also you can't go through to the lounge, like in Love Actually. That little kid runs through. He'd be shot. And I wish he had been shot, though. Then he wouldn't be in Game of Thrones, which is good. I went out with a lot of actresses. Not all at the same time, but just, you know, a lot of my girlfriends ended up being actresses. Because, you know, I'm a comedian. That's the area I work in. I was writing
scripts and meeting lots of actresses. Also, you know, I like them. They're mad and they're quite good fun.
Yeah, it's true.
That's what, you know, it's like someone like you. In the old days, Lou, I'd have gone out with someone like you.
Yeah, but we wouldn't have got on because...
I know we wouldn't have got on. I didn't get on with any of these people. That's what I'm saying. We'd have got on really badly. But, you know, you'd have been my ideal kind of person. A very scatty, insane, unreliable.
Oh, that's nice. That's
mentally
really nice.
Disturbed. You know, flitting from one boy to the next.
I would not have left presents in your flat, though.
No.
I would have taken stuff from your...
Is that the things you put in what's in the bag make me wonder... because some people listen, let's just play the jingle. One, this is the last time.
Yeah.
What's in your bag?
It's a chip down memory lane.
Never hear that again. It is nothing. That is what is in our bag. I went out with, she was a sort of writer, actress. She's actually now has gone on to be a very successful screenwriter.
Ooh.
But she was, and I think has pulled her life together a bit. She was a little bit flaky and unreliable and crazy, and I liked that at the time. But we went on holiday towards the end of our relationship.
Yeah.
I was writing Time, Gentlemen, Please at the time, which is the Sky sitcom. And I took a week. I'd worked out I could have a week off because we got ahead with the scripts and someone else was writing that week. So I thought we could have a week off. Haven't been able to spend much time with my girlfriend.
Yeah.
I'll take her to Barbados.
That's nice.
We went to a really lovely hotel in Barbados.
Yeah, Barbados.
Flew to Barbados. It was very nice, but I didn't know that. I mean, she'd sort of been a bit flaky, and the night before we'd had an argument over the phone, and she said, "I'm not coming now. I'm not going to come." And I was, and it was like, and then she was out all night that night, and then I picked her up and she did come, but it was a bit weird. But I discovered subsequently that night she'd been with her ex-boyfriend, her previous boyfriend, who had proposed to her that night. So they spent the whole of the holiday with that.
Oh, my gosh.
And he was ringing her up all through the holiday. And she kept on going. She kept saying, "Oh, well, I've got to go to the phone. There's this thing I'm writing, thing I'm doing, and there's lots of work." So she kept on getting these calls having to go and take these calls. She sort of was going, "Oh, no, he wasn't calling me during the thing. That wasn't." And then I actually went, I had the bill and I went through all the phone numbers and rang them all when I was back at home. And one of them, you know, this number.
You had the bill from the hotel?
Yeah, so and I had all the numbers that had rung up. And so I rang this number and said, "Who is this?" And he said, you know, I said, "Hello." And I said, "Who is this?" And he said, "It's blah, blah, blah." And I said, "Okay." And then hung up because it was the boyfriend. So that was nasty. But then also during that holiday, which was going, she would go out. She knew the chef at the hotel. So she would go out partying with him. And I was too miserable to go out with them.
And
sleeping. So it was just really disjointed. And I went swimming in the sea on Barbados during that holiday. Got hit by a wave, turned around. Smashed my head on the sort of sandy, slightly gritty beach.
Oh, no.
But then for some reason, my testicle swelled up. It was like, I mean, they're big already, Lou, telling you, but they're met. If you like big testicles, I'm your man.
He's found my sweet spot.
But it swelled up to like, you know, like Buster Gonad size.
Yeah. Oh,
So I spent the whole rest. I didn't go to the doctors or anything. I was sort of in pain in my stomach and my chest.
Your heart?
It felt like my heart, but it was actually, I'd ripped the stomach lining. And I had this massive testicle. So that kind of put a bit of a kibosh on any romance, if there would have been any.
Well, actually, go out with a chef, didn't
she? Did. And when we flew back home, I realised my enlarged testicle acts like a barometer, but not that, an altitude thing.
Yeah.
So every time we went up, it hurt my testicle.
Oh, golly.
And every time we went down, it hurt my testicle. So my testicle was, you know, it was pretty bad. And then I dropped her off on the way home. And then I did see her again, but that was the end of the relationship.
Right.
Wow. And then I went away to Australia.
What a tale you tell.
And then when I came back from Australia, she was all wanting to get back together with me again and stuff.
Yeah.
So I had sex with her a few times, but then we didn't get back together.
No. Well, she's
too
proven,
much information.
Proven herself to be quite unreliable.
Well, but then she's got on very, very, I mean, a very successful writer.
Really?
Yeah,
what
I mean, like everyone.
Tell me.
No, I won't tell you.
Can you tell me when they play a song and tell me?
Yeah, I can tell you then.
Play a song now.
As long as you don't blow it on TV. I think.
Blow it on TV.
On TV, sorry, I was just dreaming for a second that we were on TV. Got an email from our producer Amanda, who says she's just put her What's in the Bag together. Do we trust her?
Oh yeah, Yes.
Do we trust Amanda?
We can both do it. We can
play together. So we'll maybe do that in the next section.
Yeah.
But for now, why don't we listen to the Erasure Band with their
please.
Song. We lost one of the songs because I accidentally played it, so I hope that doesn't affect your scheduling, Amanda. But this is the Erasure Band with A Little Respect. It's the 7-inch version. I prefer the 12-inch. Hey!
Hey!
To discover a little something to make me sweeter.
Richard Herring on FUBAR Radio.
Little Jimmy Somerville there singing about, you know, it would be better, wouldn't it, if we all gave each other a little bit of respect, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't the world
be an amazing place if only people listened to his message.
Respect every different creed and colour and age and not.
That wasn't what it was about. It was about respecting Jimmy Somerville. That was mainly what it was about. So we can play What's in the Bag, Lou, because Amanda, our fantastic producer, Amanda Redmond, she's called.
Amanda Redmond.
She's hit hard times, hasn't she? Old Amanda Redmond, she was flying high. Now she's producing on FUBAR. But new tricks she's in, of course. Oh, does all sorts of things. But she has put together. And now I do have to warn you that as a little going away gift, as I mentioned, we've been given cacti. Mm. And Amanda was considering putting those in What's in the Bag. But then she said...
That's actually a really good idea.
Well, then she thought that might send out a message of hatred. That she was trying to spike us, because my one isn't that spiky, but I think yours is quite spiky.
Yeah, what does that
mean? Mine's quite soft.
It's 102 degrees in here.
It's very warm. I'm worried about my sushi. So let's, for the final time ever, until this is syndicated as an ITV game show, which is what we're in. That's why we're leaving to work on this. What's in the bag?
What's in your bag? What is in your bag?
I'll do the first one. Lewis brought the bag over. It's a yellow tool station. I don't know what Amanda's been shopping for, but she goes to tool station. I have a whole station of tools. Now, this is something like an old style. The problem with this is, you know, we just have to take it out to find out what it is. I would say this was a very old style telephone device. It feels like the size of maybe it's a landline telephone.
I'm looking at it. I don't know.
Let's have a look. It's exactly what it is. It's in fact a whole telephone. It's an old style.
That's really cool, actually.
Old style telephone, like you would get on Swap Shop, where you can see the internal workings of it, and it's all different.
Win that.
It's blue, yellow, green. Can we give it away?
No,
we can't give it away.
There's something soggy in there. I'm leaving that. For
that's you. That's your one. You've touched
no,
it.
No.
If you've touched
I've
it,
I've also touched something else.
It's a used tampon that's been put in there.
It's a carton of drink. What drink is it? Either orange or coconut water.
Ribena, I might drink that later.
Boys love Ribena.
It might be our P45s might be in here.
Well, yeah.
I've got some. This isn't sticky. I've got. This is something. It's also got a straw in it. It feels like another little drink. It feels like maybe like a drink of.
This is such a shit game.
It's a WD-40.
Oh, I need some of that.
Your bike?
The last one's for you. I looked in.
Oh, there's an apple in there.
There's
two. There's a used apple. I'm going to put a used banana in there now. And there's a Pritt stick as well. I slightly cheated by looking in the bag. Oh, the Pritt stick without the top on, though, that would have been a good one. I wish I'd done
that. Yeah, that is a good one, actually. Yeah,
I think no one could deny that What's in the Bag. We probably could run and run. They might, instead of doing anything else, they could just play
What's in your bag.
What's in the Bag for 3 hours every week. If FUBAR want to do that as a parting gift to the station... You can, if you can't find anyone. I heard that the people who had taken over from us.
Who are they?
I heard it was Max Clifford and
Richard
and Adolf Hitler. I heard it was taken over from us. Oswald Mosley.
Hang on, isn't Adolf Hitler a new character act on the open mic?
He might be. So good luck to them, whoever's taken over next.
I heard that no one's taking over because we're irreplaceable.
That could be the case. I've heard they're just going to repeat the ones we've done.
I heard
for 3 months
they're getting a cat and a dog in the studio.
So what's in the bag there now? Gone but not forgotten. And you know, in a way, I think the fact that it petered away into an embarrassing ending is kind of apt somehow. For that. So do you don't have any stories?
I mean, such a stupid radio feature, wasn't it?
It was. It was your idea. You came in. I remember those early days, Lou. It seems like a long time ago now. You came in enthusiastic. You weren't eating during the meetings. You were kind of going, oh, yeah, I'm really excited, but thanks for the opportunity, Mr. Herring.
No, I don't think
Thank
I
you
ever...
so much, Mr. Herring, for giving me the opportunity to be on the radio. I've got all these ideas. And you came in with a big, I haven't got anything. We met up and you came in with this big sheet of ideas.
Man, I realised how much I was getting paid. What's in the bag
was on there. Buy Lou a house, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
That was the long, that was a, like a long time ago.
I mean, looking back, that was not a good feature.
It was not.
But you learn, don't you? You learn.
You'd hope we'd learn, but we don't seem to have learned anything. You still think it's okay to eat. You eat massive salad you've got there. You've eaten that whole thing.
Because it was only quarter full.
Okay.
Not enough salad, if you ask me.
Well, you know, we could up with a lot of people would say that. A lot of people would argue that. I've no idea where we are in terms of the running order of this show, what's been going on, Ricky. Does it matter? Pop a song on, love. No, we have. We've only just got back.
Have we?
Yeah, we've only done What's in the Bag. It's not time to put a song on.
I'll do enough about. Oh, I can tell you about my weekend.
Yeah, what's been going on?
Well, I need to finish my food first.
Okay, we'll play a song. We'll come back to Lou with what she's been up to this weekend. Oh, we've got like a minute to talk in this one. This is a great long song.
I could probably tell you about my weekend in a minute, actually. It's not that exciting.
I want to wait and find out. You went away with just a little...
No, don't say it.
Don't say
anything. I don't want to say that bit of it.
Okay.
You're
in Bath. Can you say that?
I was in Bath, yeah. Well, went to the bath. I'm still eating. I've got to put more food in.
Who were you in Bath with?
Just a friend.
Okay.
Just a friend.
Okay. My friend. I'm sure I was in the middle of telling a very interesting story before, but I think
it had somewhere to go.
So we'll be back in approximately 5 minutes, 55 seconds.
Really? It's a big one. Right?
I think that might be out. I can't remember what time. I think it's like an hour. I think we've done like an hour now.
It's flown
by. Where's Andy Parsons? Well, Andy Parsons is meant to be coming in, but it would be just like him to not show up, wouldn't it, and leave us.
Oh, thanks a lot, Andy, mate.
You can interview me, I'll pretend to be Andy Parsons. Oh, Mr. Hello. I'm Andy Parsons. Hello.
FUBAR, giving radio the finger.
Yes, it is. It's Richard Herring here with Lou Sanders. We're a little bit over an hour into our final ever show. We're sad to be leaving behind this wonderful team. It's bittersweet, but it's good to never have to come in again. So,
What a mixed message.
It's really unpleasant here in the studio now, just before Andy Parsons arrives, because Lou was eating her dinner and something smelled like gravy, which didn't make sense. So it was an odd gravy smell. So I said, this is not what you drink. It smells like gravy. And they said, oh, that's no good. We can't have it smelling of gravy. It's powerfully hot in here. And then she squirted some deodorant or some kind of perfume in here.
Kenzo perfume.
And so it just stinks really like,
lovely. It smells like a lovely,
cheap,
pretty lady.
Cheap whore's underwear. And Andy Parsons is going to come in here in a minute.
And have to
smell that with his celebrity nose. He's there, I can see him. He's in a cool environment without this horrible stink in it.
Let's ask Andy Parsons if he prefers the smell of gravy or the smell of a classy lady.
Look at him, he prefers gravy. Certainly by this stage in his life. If he's got the choice between a classy lady and some gravy, Andy Parsons, he'll have sauce all over his face. But, it might not be the gravy. Who knows? But, I got an odd tweet last night. This happens a little bit, and I genuinely think there is someone going around the country pretending to be me,
right,
which is slightly...
Dear.
Given that I have this me one, me two thing anyway, I'm worried I've split into two people.
Also, that person is not very ambitious.
Well, they look like me. You have to work with what you've got, don't you?
That's
if they
true.
Look like me, they have to be me. But then
that's
it's an
true.
Odd thing to go around when... It's definitely happened before someone said they're me. But, I met you at this... I saw you in the Walthamstow Curry House, and you were swearing and stuff and... being racist. I'm going, it wasn't me. But a guy called Alex said, just ran into Herring 1967. Geezer, really top geezer. I'm already suspicious because that is not me. A, I haven't just run into someone. I was at home and I've just been doing a gig.
Yeah.
And B, I am not a top geezer by any stretch of the nation. Never met a man who so likes to laugh. I mean, I do like to laugh, so I thought that could be me, but that was odd. Very handsome. Again, suspicious.
Yeah.
It's like going, I've met someone and he's more handsome than I expected. That's what you're saying, which to me says that is not the person I think it is.
I think this is your doing, so you can get away with what you want. You say to Katie, oh, no, there's someone who looks exactly like me.
Well, that's the... A, it could be good, but A, it could be very bad if they start committing crimes
people... Richard, it's you pretending it's not you.
It isn't. I was with you last night. I mean, not like that.
Yeah, you were.
He said he'd put. He said. It says he'd pat me on stage sometime. But I think he means put me on stage sometime. But it could be a kind of Rolf Harris pat. Said he'd pat me on stage sometime.
This is so annoying, actually. I'd be livid and outraged.
And so I said, I said, cheers, mate, but that wasn't me. He goes, really? That's weird. Oh, yeah, bud, I've got a podcast idea for us. Details soon.
Oh.
So I tweeted him back and said, it's all right, I come up with my own ideas.
Oh,
thanks
wow.
a lot. I love the kind of, hey, I've got a great podcast idea for us. Oh, thanks, Alex. Great. Really? You're going to do a podcast with me? Thanks for that. Oh, but you're holding details soon. Yeah, I'm on tenterhooks. I can't wait to find out what podcast idea you've got for you and a fucking random bloke who can't even tell who I am is, who thinks I'm a top geezer.
He got on really well with your doppelganger.
Yeah.
And so he thought, oh, yeah, because he said he put him on stage, didn't he?
Yeah.
So he thought he's still in this.
He still thinks that that was real.
Mm.
But that's terrifying if someone's out there pretending to be me and saying I'll put you on stage and being a top geezer. I don't want people. I don't want the reputation of being a top geezer. Cantankerous old man.
Did you?
I hate humanity.
Sweet Valley High. It was about these two twins, Jessica and someone else.
I didn't because I'm a man, but I know I'm aware of it.
They were really beautiful, like blonde, and one was a real geek, and one was a real like. Go-getter.
Yeah.
And they used to get in all sorts of trouble because they were beautiful, identical twins.
Yeah.
Some of the storylines of Sweet Valley High, I mean, this could be your life.
It could be. Oh, God, it just smells so bad in here now.
It's so lovely.
Difficult to work in this environment.
It's lovely. It's really nice.
I'm just embarrassed for Andy Parsons.
Well, that's the least of your problems. But it smells of Kenzo in here. It's really the least of your problems.
Do you wear this on your body?
Yeah, I mean, I may have gone, it's really nice. Which
it's like a chemical attack. It's like your chemical alley.
I thought you were going to be nicer today. We've all had a word with you to try and be nicer.
That's why we've been sacked, because I'm too unpleasant to my co-host. Been sacked. I can never work on FUVAR Radio again, apparently. The door's open, apparently. We can come back anytime we want. So that's bear that in mind.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, you know, we'll think about that. It's because we're both very busy doing our Edinburgh shows.
I don't think we need to talk.
I think people will be doing. No, I think there's probably hundreds of thousands of people out there crying now thinking, why is this?
I think the place is going to get lynched.
Do you think we'll ever work together again in another scenario?
I hope it so much. Oh, I hope it so badly.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Well, you never know. Who knows what the future may bring, Lou?
Rich, I've got a podcast idea for us.
Have you?
Richard, yeah. No, I've got a dance idea for us. It's dance-led.
Do you want to do a rap about something?
Yes.
Do you want to do a rap about Andy Parsons?
Yes.
See if you can offend him before he's even on. He might just leave. He is there. We've got him. Lock that door so he can't leave. Don't make it... just because Andy's listening, when we went to interview Robert Webb, the first thing Lou said to him was that he had strange teeth.
No, it was more or less baby
teeth, which he does, but no one has ever pointed that out, and certainly not to his face. So just be warned, Andy, that... What Lou says is not the company policy. She's a loose cannon. So anything she says in this rap about Andy Parsons... Sarsons rhymes with Parsons, I'll give you, which is like a kind of vinegar.
Okay.
That might help you with your rap. She's making notes.
You can't make notes, it's got to be
ad-libbed. Off we go. Andy Parsons, he's mock the week.
Yeah. Andy Parsons is... Okay. Let everybody please welcome the Andy Parsons. He got here by walking on the grass and something else. Now, Andy Parsons is a very funny man from the television. You know.
Well, hold on, was man rhyming with television?
Was that
a rhyme?
No, television's a rhyming word.
Okay.
Andy Parsons, very funny man off the television.
Television.
He's him again, everybody.
Fucking hell. I mean, that, even by the standards of. Poor improvisation. That is shit. We'll go to some prop again. It makes it hard for the proper musicians when Lou's just been on. But let's see if Pulp can match that. You never know your luck. With Mile End, it's a place in London. That was the Pulp Band. Not one of their better songs. Don't know why we played that one. Quite boring. And we are joined by our guest.
Yeah. Woo!
It's Andy Parsons.
I'm making sure I don't show my teeth to anybody.
No. we'll take you apart. He's got no hair, Lou. You can start with that.
Where's my hat?
Already, I like this one.
Yeah, that's all right.
I can't feel myself.
That sounds like you didn't like Robert Webb.
I liked Robert Webb. I explained what went wrong for him.
Orthodontist. Age three.
No, I was very charming.
You were lovely.
So, let's explain to him how this dynamic works. I ask the hard hitting questions. Don't come in often. You keep the interview going.
Yeah.
I'll do some admin every so often. I'll come in what I think the listeners want to know about Andy Parsons.
Yeah.
And she so I cry, but then Richard comforts me. That's how it goes.
Good cut, bad cop interview.
Yeah, lovely. I'm glad you explained that because I thought it might be the other way around.
No. It is. It's changed. The dynamic's very odd. You're probably best known, Andy, for people who might not be aware of you, as the script doctor from the Granada TV show Holding the Baby.
Yes.
How was that for you?
It's interesting, isn't it? I'm also curious as to exactly some of these things going, oh, did I do that? Yeah, no, that's right, Nick Hancock.
Oh,
and I tell you who's doing that, who's script doctoring with me, Henry Normal.
Wow.
A man who's gone on to be big boss at Baby Cannon.
He has. So, he should have taken you with him.
He should have done. Imagine that. I could have been swanning around cans as we speak.
You could. So we used to share, we'll get this out of the way, we used to share, we were lovers and we used to share a flat together.
We had separate bedrooms, so it's not everybody knew.
I lived in a house with three Andys, or at least Andrews.
So is this in real life, not in Edinburgh?
In real life,
have lived together in Edinburgh as well.
Oh, we have,
More recently, in fact.
When I first came to London, we rented a flat, which was me, Stuart Lee, Tim Richardson, who went on to write about horticulture and sweets. And
that well-known combo.
Andrew Mackay, who played a professor in Time, Gentlemen, Please, and is now a teacher in... South London?
We were just talking about that. He did some children's stuff as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
Who's done the best career-wise... Wait for it.
We haven't even got to Andy being in the house yet. And then...
The cat. The cat's done fine work.
Stuart left and Andy Mackay left and you... Came in. Stuart left and you came in.
I had Stuart's old bed, definitely.
Yeah,
he left me his mattress and everything. And maybe the sheets, I can't quite remember.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Yeah. But imagine all the comedy that has been created by people sleeping
in that
bed.
Well, I know he's still doing material about acting, I know.
He does occasionally go back to some of those old routines. So it was only about a year, probably, we shared that.
6 months.
Yeah,
was it
that little?
I had to go, and then I had somewhere worse, actually. I went to Baker Street, where there was a prostitute downstairs, unbeknownst to me, who came up crying with a bloody face, having been beaten up by a pimp. So I had to move out of that one. Then I went to a bedsit in Kentish Town, and there was poo in the shower. At that point, your house seemed like heaven.
Why did you move out?
I hated acting, really. We were miles away from any public transport.
It was a long way.
There was a bus, basically.
Yeah.
Carphone Warehouse were just starting up at the top of the A40 there.
It was very handy for the BBC rehearsal rooms that were there, but we weren't on the BBC at the time.
No,
so
we didn't get to any rehearsal. We just got to be jealous of watching people going into the rehearsal rooms.
If you walked all the way up to North Acton Tube, you would pass that. It was I can't remember much about it. We used to go for curries down Churchfield Road.
Yeah.
We always said we would meet up.
I was just talking to your producer and we were remembering the cat tray. She wasn't, obviously. She wasn't there. But, very stinky cat tray.
I remember that because I then moved in with Andrew Mallett, whose cat it was.
Well, he was. And he never used to change it, did he?
No.
No,
I'd forgotten
about
that.
Come on, mate.
Then that cat died and I didn't mind.
No.
Yeah.
Got run over. I wasn't that bothered.
Got run over. First driving lesson, why not? You know.
But it was happy day. We did a lot of work together. Worked alongside each other at the BBC.
That's Wigan's Yard.
Yes.
It's still available to make. They gave us a commission and we never wrote it. We thought it was such a poor idea.
Did they commission it?
They commissioned
it. We did a pilot, but we never did it.
I think we did a non-broadcast pilot they sort of commissioned it for a broadcast pilot.
I've forgotten the
And then none of us wanted to write it, so it's still there, available.
Right, so we could go back.
It
was me and Stu, Andy and Henry Naylor, doing the double act at the time, and Julian Dutton, who's just won the Sony Gold. Pete Bainham. And then there was I think Alice McGann was in it. That was, I've just found a box of old cassette tapes. I've just been talking about this in my attic. And I really hope
that. But you have no cassette player to play them.
I did. My wife has an old Walkman, which was running out of batteries. I've listened to them all going to work out what they are, and then I've sent them all away to get digitalised. But I was hoping that's Wigan Yard.
Is this a new show? Are you thinking?
No.
The radio days.
No, I think that, but it's not useful for extras for DVDs and stuff. And we might have, there's an old Lee and Herring live show we're just discussing. We'd ever taped any of our stuff, but obviously this was the first one of a tour, and maybe we taped it just so we knew what we'd said. And so we got most, because it's a tape, literally someone forgot to turn it over to tape the other, as the first side ran out. So there's a bit of a gap in the first half and a bit of a gap in the second half where someone's turning over the tape to record it. But that's quite an astonishing discovery. So actually that is, there's a couple of thousand people who pay £5 to listen to that. So, you know, I've been...
It's all about the
money. I've been sitting on £10,000 there in my attic without knowing.
Well, that's Wiggins Yard. Yeah. May well come back
exactly.
to you.
So if I find it, we'll put it out. And, you know, I found stuff that isn't even mine. I've got like that, as I was saying. Bob Says Who, which is a pilot panel show with Bob Mortimer, which we wrote the links for. But that was like a precursor of Shooting Stars, but people would pay to listen to that, wouldn't they? Just steal it.
It's not your...
Just steal it. It's mine now, isn't it? I've got some music, Stuart Lee's acoustic music.
He did do another panel show afterwards, didn't he? I forget, it was some showbiz one, didn't it? Right. 29 Seconds of Fame or something.
Oh, maybe
29 Minutes of
Fame. Yeah. Do you remember about those days? It got bulldozed and smashed to pieces. Langham Street has been changed now and rebuilt.
Oh, do you remember...
The writer's room.
In the days when we were trying to think of ideas, trying to get those chairs all the way along the corridor in races, when in the quiet times, and we were struggling to think of an idea for weekending, and it was like, let's do anything, actually sit there. There was still typewriters in those days.
There was typewriters, and there was big crates of newspapers, like all the old newspapers got thrown. So there'd be newspapers, and they'd get thrown in these crates. And one day, when it was towards at the end of our time on weekending, which was a fairly bog standard. Weekly satire show that went out. They'd been going for years even then.
But now reminisced about
it. It is reminisced.
It was 21 years and it was a starting block for so many great names.
It was. A lot of people did start there and it was kind of amazing, but it was awful as well. But one day I got so fed up, I took all the newspapers out of the crates and got in one crate and put another crate on top of me and refused to come out.
Also, you got bored in the meeting, so you just come up with ideas, and it was trying to get the least likely one through, wasn't it? And I remember there was a bloke called Oleg. Do you remember Oleg?
Oh, yes.
Oleg's and his one idea was, it was Cunt of the Week, which I believe we're allowed to say on this.
One of you can say anything you like.
Yes. So one of the few channels where you get to tell your Oleg story. And that was, I won't say who it was, but... and that was his sketch. He handed that in, and genuinely, I mean, there were some mad people. You remember the story of the bloke turning up at the meeting and his trousers fell down?
I do. Yeah. I remember him very clearly, that guy. Yeah, he basically had his trousers held up with a piece of string, I think. Yeah. But he didn't have any underwear on, I think. Is that right? No. Or has that been to the story?
Andy Parsons' face then was
I didn't
feel the need for that.
I feel I was in the room, but I don't even think I was in the room. I think I just, you know, the story became legend.
Yeah. But you don't need a mental image of that.
No. It was because it was a mixture of the future of British comedy and lots of crazy people who wanted to be, which is sort of what comedy is. There's a lot, if you go to the open spots, some of those people are going to go on to be big proper comedians, and some of them are just people who are.
Yeah, it's not always the ones you think are going to be.
It isn't always.
Sometimes that's part of an act.
But you know,
the
sometimes
pants dropping down, that's a punchline.
And sometimes the crazy people get through, and you know, manage to get some work and stuff.
And with their rapping, maybe the rapping's not quite there, but other people see something in it that you haven't seen.
Thanks, guys.
Subject, Andy. At any point, if you just want to rap about it, just say chuck that subject in, and you see what
provided it rhymes with teeth. We're away,
you can
is that
see
it?
What you've seen what you can do. It's pretty
I'm
astonishing.
I'm capable of so much less as well.
let's. I've got my computer in the way. Let's play some kind of record. I just dropped my fruit fork onto the desk. I hope that won't affect anything. This is The Kills, Last Day of Magic. We'll be back with Andy Parsons from 32 Hereford Road, Acton, 1991. don't go and look for him there. He's not there anymore. Send him a letter. Send him a letter to that address. See if it gets to him. We're two parties.
FUBAR.
I mean, it was lucky I had my eye on the prize there, but that just seemed to cut out. What is this place? I'm never working here again. Maybe it's just the record cut out. Can't remember who it was, but well done to them, whoever they were, for singing a lovely song. Congratulations.
Are you never going to work here again, are you?
The door's open, Andy. I can come back anytime I want.
You're really showing off about that, aren't you?
I just want people to know that I haven't been... It's a rare thing. I haven't been sacked.
Time? Could they not come in the next hour and a half and give you a boot?
They could.
Lou takes over.
Let's see if we can do that.
No, I'm really
rapping
busy.
For an hour and a half.
Now I'm interested, rapping for an hour and a half.
I might walk out so that happens.
Could you pretend that you've been elected to the European Parliament or something like that? Would that work?
No. There's nothing you can do on the station that would be... The only thing you could do is to have a go probably the boss of the station, which I might do in the last five
Headbutt
10 minutes.
Get him in.
Get him in that.
Rich.
Kill him.
Rich.
Yeah.
He bought me some crisps.
Did he? Yeah. Everyone's looking quite nervous in the booth there. I said that's the only thing I could do. I didn't say I would do it. He seems like a very nice gentleman.
That's it. Come back anytime you like.
So, do you think Lou could be on Mock the Week with her raps?
Yes, very much so.
Would you?
Yes.
I think you should put her on.
It records for 3 hours. There is always space for a rap at some point. Maybe 2.5 hours in. But we're going, we need something now. What can it be?
That could be a regular thing. Yeah. Just, I'm not on any part of the other show.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, I'm very busy. I just come in at the end and I just do a rap at how everyone's done.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, who's on Mock the Week?
But you see,
Andy, I don't know now, it keeps changing. Andy Parsons, Mark Watson probably does it quite a lot. Chris Addison, is he still on it?
Who's that other?
He's back.
Sitcoms.
Dara O'Brien's on it all the time.
Yeah.
I think one woman on every week.
If you call him Dara O'Brien, you won't be on.
Oh, I'll just come in. Oh, yeah, Dara, nice joke. We all had a laughter.
But O'Brien is probably an easier rhyme than O'Brien.
Yeah, yeah. Quite O'Brien.
Dara O'Brien, I seen what you doing.
What is good about it, Lou, is it's generally improvised, and to the extent that you haven't even thought about what you might do in a second's time.
If that was on Mock the Week, there'd be six other people trying to chip in with you. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
You'd have to be very firm in your getting it out.
I've been biting and punching people to try and.
Well, there's been some very close things to biting and punching over the years. Yeah.
How many series? A lot of series now.
It is. I'm glad to know. I don't actually know.
No, you don't
but
know.
But we're in double figures, definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
And you've been there right from the start.
No, well, I joined properly. Series 3 after Rory Bremner left.
Right, that's right. Rory was on it to begin, wasn't it? It didn't really quite.
He didn't like it, and he now likes to slag it off.
Does he?
Yeah.
Though that early series, I don't. It's one of those things you catch it every now and again, isn't it? That's the nice thing about Mock the Week, I suppose. But I'm out working then the evening time.
Yeah, I tend to catch it quite often. But I've got some personal interest.
But the ones I saw early with Rory, it did feel like he would. It's going and now over to Rory to do his bit.
Well, there's some rounds in there. There was a shocking. I mean, yeah. Frankie doing some accents for. Osama bin Laden and stuff like that. And it's like, I think Frankie's asked them to be removed from the archive.
Too offensive, even for Frankie Boyle, when it comes down to that. Yeah, it's an amazing. It's been going for what, 10 years, 12 years?
2005 was the pilot, so 9 years.
9 years,
so, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. That is amazing.
It's like the new Weekending, that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's not much of an access show, if you're honest.
No, I guess not. So how? Because Dara said to me that I was not a Mock the Week act.
Well, because Dara and I have a lot of sway as to who gets booked. They don't. Oh, anybody you like? They couldn't give a monkey's.
Why are you not
what
a Mock the Act?
I think he was sort of partly joking, but I am not really a Mock the Week kind of act.
I think you could easily be.
I mean, I could do it, but
if
I don't.
Mark
but I don't.
Does
I don't
it,
think
I anyone could do it. If Mark Watson does. No. I mean, because Mark Watson's so good, but I love Mark Watson. Yeah. I think he's amazing. But I mean, he's.
I love that, don't you? He sounded like a slag off.
I think he's amazing. But what I mean is, he's not a. Like, if people are saying that Mock the Week's kind of alpha male, kind of one-linery, then he's not like that.
But the thing is, what he would say, that actually he gets very little on Mock the Week. He enjoys turning up.
Yeah.
He enjoys, over the 3 hours, having a little say, but then finding out that, sadly, most of it goes in the edit.
Right.
So. I don't think it's as gladiatorial as it started out being as well.
Yeah, it is definitely an easier ship. The guests definitely have, and the editing has become more even-handed, shall we say.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
And will it go on forever?
I think it could easily end at the end of the series. I think it could go,
It's not working. It's not working, the new editing style.
There's a new BBC Two head. Yeah. There's always flux, and people always want to leave their little mark on a station, don't they?
Yeah.
So, you're leaving this particular establishment, but somebody new may come in and...
It may still be
the Richard Herring show and there'll be a court case,
Once something's established, it's quite hard, I think, it's harder for it to get kicked off. When a new controller comes in, it's like we discovered, me and Stu, we would do a series for two series and then a new controller would come in, and if it hasn't really taken off, then go, get rid of that and put this in. So that happened just two times, I think, with both of our series.
Should have done better series in the first place.
Then, tragically, Jane Root stayed
for a
long time.
Because once he got rid of you, he's flown, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's absolutely flown, that boy.
It is weird. It did take him a little while. He dipped and then he flew.
But Richard, you're on Fubar Radio with me, so you're having a great time
for
as well.
For another hour and a half. Is Stuart Lee got his own show on FUBAR
no,
Radio?
No, he has not.
So that sounded
negative, but no, I love what you're doing. And in some ways, I think you are an icon of doing different things.
Yes. He does all right. You do all right, don't you?
I do okay. Keep busy.
You're an innovator, you are.
I am. I innovate.
You sell out everywhere. That's what it's about, live performing.
It is, and you've got a tour coming up.
I did a tour, finished in November.
Right.
And now it's that time again where you've got to think, I should write something new now.
Yeah. So did you do every couple of years?
Yeah, every other year. Yeah,
that's great. That's nice, isn't it?
Nice.
That's amazing.
You get a little bit downtime and you get a bit chance to reflect and go, that could have been better. So
I think that's so amazing that you tour every other year.
In the sense that it's obviously Jimmy famous for continually touring, isn't he?
Yeah.
And then making a note of exactly which jokes he did at which venue in that
Whoa,
sort of
really,
thing.
Really?
Yeah, no, he's completely OCD as to how many gigs he's ever done, how many jokes he does per minute. And
right.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But then, is he a psychopath?
that's a question I'm not necessarily able to answer there.
No, I don't mean. He seems like a lovely chap.
And do you write your own tour show or do you have
associates
that help
yeah,
you?
No associates at all. Yeah. It's a badge of pride, I suppose, maybe growing up when we did.
Yeah.
You write your own stuff. And, talking back to Mock the Week, Rory used to bring his writer along and that's completely alien to people.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, if certain people are bringing writers in and you find that they've got a writing team of 10 behind them and you're doing it all on your own,
you just can't
compete.
Yeah.
So in the end, you fall, I haven't done this section. This section you're supposed to do, I didn't have time to write this. What you should have done is get a team of 10 other writers to write.
So what do you think of that? Do you think that's acceptable? Because obviously Stuart finds that people having writers on those shows is cheating in some way.
Well, I much prefer everybody just stands by their own stuff.
Yeah.
And I much prefer doing my own stuff. And if I can get away with just doing my own stuff, I will.
Yeah.
But there are certain things where you just think, well, this is going to look terrible unless I have a bit of help on this.
Yeah.
And it depends what else you've got going on at that time. And it depends if it's your sort of...
Yeah, but a lot of them... do so much different stuff. You kind of think, yeah, if you're having trouble writing it, do less fucking stuff. You're doing every single
thing. But also, some of those are great performers and some people are great writers. You very rarely get a combination of the two.
Mm. Lou Sanders.
Here she is.
Yeah, well, you just write yours off the top of your head, you see. Yeah.
Rap artist Sanders.
Cool, let's go. We'll have another record and then we'll see what we'll chat next to. Our fantastic guest, Andy Parsons. Andy Parsons. that was my impression of Andy Parsons there. I'm trying to get Rory Bremner's work.
Richard Herring, ripping you a new ear hole.
That was the Violent Femmes. Please do not go. Ironically, Lou has gone.
I can do the rap.
Do you want to do a rap? You can do a rap about Lou and pretend. Lou Sanders. She, I can't think of a rhyme.
Yeah.
That's the hard thing. It seems easy when she does it.
Yeah, but Lou has gone to the Lou.
She's gone to the Lou, skipped to the Lou, so that's good. Are you doing any more of your Radio 4 show that I used to listen to when I was driving around on tour? It's just like a sitcom.
Oh, Scrooby.
Scrooby, yes.
Scrooby Trevithick.
Yeah.
No, but I am in the process of writing a new sitcom.
Are you?
So, yeah, the that one, you give it a couple of series and you think, has this got much traction? And the traction didn't seem to be all there,
right,
shall we say.
So I enjoyed it. It's an enjoyable... I like that when you're driving around and I like chancing across stuff, really, when it hits the right time when you're touring.
Did I get you involved with it? Because did I never invite you to come and do some bit parts? I can only apologise.
No, it's all right. It's okay. It
was great fun getting in various people just to do little cameos and seeing which of the stand-ups could act and which were really poor at it. And it was the ones you thought were going to be terrible, actually were great, and vice versa.
Yeah. So. It's nice, though, with the radio and Radio 4 and things like that. Was it Radio 4 or Radio 2?
Yeah, it was Radio 4.
Yeah, that they give you, you can try stuff out and some of the things
but
do take off.
But the thing is
off.
Now, you actually get stuff quicker on the telly than you can on the radio because there's so little spaces for sitcoms. We'd love that. 2017.
It does take a long time. It does. So is the new sitcom for TV?
TV.
It's BBC.
Yeah, well, there's a bit of grease in the palms to be done.
Yes.
There's no guarantees. No guarantees at all.
And you'll be in that, I presume.
Well, hopefully, it could still be at the stage where they go, we love the script, we love the characters. Now, there's just one problem there. You couldn't write it for somebody else.
Are you writing a sitcom? Come on, Andy.
Is there a part for Lou? She could play a kooky neighbour.
I could play a great, a real hot girl. No acting required, if you know what I mean.
I love the way that you've only got it. Water, but you are holding it as if it was something like pure vodka.
What's the thing about? Have you talked about
I don't know if he seems to be being cagey about it, so I'm presuming he doesn't want to say because it's probably a new project.
Hey, very
I've
emotional.
Got a, I've got a sitcom idea that I can't talk about because it's a new project.
And a film script. And a film script. You're going to have meetings out in LA.
That's it, yeah. I've got cards printed up and everything. Yeah. So that's the
I
main
wrote
thing.
A blog the other day, but you don't hear me banging on about it.
And it got published.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't have to grease nobody's palm.
Your own palm ended up a bit greasy, though, hey, Lou?
He does that. He does that. Yeah. Just let him be.
He's always been quite like that.
Yeah.
He likes a little more information than you really want to give. You know, I'm expecting him to get some stuff out of me, which is why I thought he might be the aggressive interviewer and you be the, you know. But no, I'm still waiting for that cutting
we're
question.
Loving
is that
you
pose?
And
is that pose a joke?
Well, it's sort of a joke. Yeah, sort of. Yeah.
He's upset him. It's like the teeth thing. Where look at his face. Okay. He's crushed. He thinks he looks good in that photo.
Hang on. He does look good. Truth. His face looks good. It's he just the posture. Good. It's really funny. I think that, it's a really
down.
Funny pose.
Do you want to describe the photos for the people
But by
at
the
home?
Way, Andy Parsons is actually my favourite guest we've had on. So
really?
Yeah. And
does everybody get that?
No, she's very critical.
He's very
charming. Well, wait till I'll tell you. I'll text you afterwards and let her know what she says when you're gone.
Yeah, that's it. That's the topic coming for the middle hour. You want the final hour, don't you? Because then you know. You can't have the last
he's
word.
No, surprisingly charming.
That's again the double edge.
Put that in.
Surprisingly charming.
Okay, just have the charm. Yeah. Okay, the photograph is like you look good. It's not that, but okay. So he's got his head resting on his hands,
I like to see,
and his legs kicked back at the back. It looks like
it's
a sort
an
of
Uma
show
Thurman
pose.
I like to think. I just need the hypodermic syringe, don't I? In the
it's a kind
okay,
of
yeah.
child show pose. I'm into it.
I'm
into
doing
it.
The shaky face. That's why I'm quite.
I love it, but I thought it was like half a joke.
Yeah. We've been sent a picture, but I don't know. They've gone for 29 Hereford Road. We're 32, so we'd be... I'm just trying to make this work. I don't know if this will move... Oh, no, that's not it.
That's
a block of flats.
That's way away. That's more. Yeah. What the hell? Well, that was 20... Do you remember 29 Hereford Road?
It looked
Road?
Quite similar,
oh,
to be honest.
I've lost it now.
If the washing machine doesn't work and there's cat poo all over the place, that's our...
Were you living there when we... I don't think you were. When we first lived in that flat, Andy Mackay, who was an eccentric man...
He was.
Had brought a real old-fashioned... washing machine. So we did buy a washing machine. I think you got the washing machine that was like a new washing machine that we bought or rented, I think, even possibly.
No,
we had a twin tub. Washing machine that you
those
had
were the
to
days, weren't they?
That you had to move stuff in yourself, so the one side it would do that, and then the other, you know, then you'd move all over to the other side and it would then do. I've completely forgotten that. That seems insane, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I don't think I was around for your twin tub years.
No. That is insane. You know, that makes us sound like we are Victorians, but it was insane even for 1989, 1990 to have that in your house was nuts. Yeah. But then, yeah, I think you end up, you know, rented TVs and stuff in those days, right? That's how... That just doesn't happen anymore, does it?
Yeah,
you rent TVs.
You rent them and then you could own them in about 6 years'
time.
Yeah.
Because one of the flats, they didn't come and pick it up and we left it there with a neighbour. To give it back to them, and then I realised the money was still going out of the account, and I got in touch. So we gave that TV back, you know, a year ago, and they said, "Oh, we never." So that someone ended up getting a free TV.
Oh,
I did get my money back in the end.
Oh no!
Oh, it was happy days.
Oh,
it was
happy.
There's an Edinburgh show in there.
Yeah, there might be.
Regret.
Why have you taken my notes about Andy Parsons? You have your own notes about Andy Parsons, and now you've hid them over there.
If you want, I can probably remember most of what's on there.
I had a good question about something. I was going to ask him about one of the things on here.
I thought you just worked, you know, off the cuff.
I was working off the cuff. Then I love
that there's research gone into this.
Then I saw one thing on here. I saw a thing on here. I thought we'd talk about that. No, I was wrong. There's nothing. There's nothing on there.
I mean, feel free just to bring up some photos of me and slag them off. I mean, that's the absolute.
I really love it. I love that. But it's a comical pose. It is a comical pose.
But is it a joke? But is it a joke, though, Andy? Is it a joke? Is your life a joke, Andy? Have you looked at your life and looked at the hold on? Is this really?
Is there anything funny?
It's a good face. The pose
it's not funny. It's a very
comic.
Serious. It's not.
The
he's looking.
Pose is
it's,
comic.
It's the sensitive side. He's thinking, oh, you know what is life about?
It was a show called Gruntled, and I think that sort of does it still. I mean,
yeah,
you know, years
then.
After the event, He's grunted. I am gruntled.
Yeah, you're not gruntled.
You haven't changed. You look exactly the same as you did.
The advantage of being bald, isn't it? Yeah, no, those grey hairs just can't.
You've done a lot of stuff. Look how much stuff he's done.
I know, he's amazing.
And some of the early stuff was probably with Rich, but I should imagine most of that's gone off there.
Yeah. You too embarrassed. You haven't put it on.
You worked with
it'd be a shame if you were still living on something that happened in 1991 or whatever.
Well, you say that. Look, Richard Herring.
That's all I have. On the hour. That was my high point.
The end of the road is still going strong.
He's going all right. I wish we'd ended up getting 1% of that. That would have been all right.
I know I'm poking fun at everyone. I've done nothing. Poking fun at everyone.
Your best is yet to come. Now, that's partly what my Edinburgh show might be about looking back.
I was
and
on Stuart
forwards.
Lee's show and I got cut.
But it's good to get on it.
I got cut.
It's more than I've been.
But not because I was hilarious.
But then Jeremy Clarkson's, some of his best stuff was in the
By the way, guys, I didn't get cut. I was hilarious.
Yeah.
I got cut for continuity because I threw props all around the floor and it talked to everyone in the audience. And,
yeah.
Are you a prop comic?
No, I mean, that sounds so lame, doesn't it? I mean, the new dress for Carrot.
How much have you got in your suitcase? Where is that joke?
Oh, it sounds
She's
so
an unpredictable entity. She's a force of nature. I think it's, you know, calling her a comic, I'm not even sure, is an accurate description of what she does.
Seems unfair.
She holds some props and then discusses them.
A prop model.
And then Andy Parsons says, is that meant to be a joke? Is that meant to be funny? Yeah.
We're here to talk about Andy Parsons, guys.
No, we can talk about anything you like.
So, I'll read out the credits, Rich.
We don't have to talk about him.
You say something about it.
You can ask him his opinion about stuff.
I'm fully aware of what I've done, well, if no, I'm actually honest.
What is the best and worst ending to something you've had? This is our last show. Have you had an hilarious breakup or a brilliant end to something? What's the most embarrassing way something's ended?
Yeah, I'm sure I've had some absolutely horrendous endings to stuff.
Yeah.
But I can't think of any right now.
That's no good, is it? You meant to be
what
off
I'll
the
do
cup.
Is I'll email. Okay. I'll email you.
For the people that take over our show, they can be
It has proven to be a difficult question.
I was trying to think, but most of relationships I still have, you know, like, not contact, but, you know, I could have contact.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I can't think of anybody that, you know, we've so parted so badly.
Yeah.
And in terms of shows, the one that's coming to mind now is when I was 18, I worked as a washer-upper in France in a summer resort. And I got food poisoning and they made me wash up and I was really ill. And I puked in the sink and they still made me, even after I puked in the sink, made me wash up.
That's
and
horrible.
Then finally took me to the doctor. They thought I'd been out on the lash. But it was something that I'd eaten in their kitchen.
Oh, my God.
And so we were all really pissed off with them. And we had to we were leaving at 5 o'clock in the morning before anybody from the hotel was up. And they had a leisure wear, velour tracksuits, if I remember rightly, in this particular hotel. So we cleaned them out of some of their finest wine and a velour tracksuit. And we got on this early morning coach in our velour tracksuits, sipping this very fine wine. And that was a big two fingers.
Yeah, that's nice.
Them. Nice.
Yeah. Have you ever resigned from jobs, Lou?
If you are going to steal something, do it in a tracksuit. That's the type.
And in a stolen tracksuit.
Have I ever what?
Have you ever resigned from a job?
Have I ever not got the sack?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, sure.
Or been sacked in I can imagine your life as a... This is how I imagine your life, as a cavalcade of failed relationships and jobs that are all amusing and hilarious all the way.
No relationships are funny breakups because it's all been, you know...
You've been too emotionally attached.
I broke a lot of guys' hearts in a lot of different countries.
Yeah.
That internet is a marvellous.
I got the sack from, I think I may have mentioned it to you, the pet shop.
Yeah.
When I was like 13,
I don't really listen to what you say, so catch say it again.
Okay, I'll tell Andy.
Yeah.
He seems more.
I'm not that bothered.
Yeah, it's your last show. Yeah. You don't have to pay attention now.
No, but I let the rabbit out of the cat of its cage, its cage, and I didn't put it back in its cage, and they had a dog. So then I got sacked.
I'm sure you didn't tell us this.
Then I got sacked. Oh, and I also got the sack.
Should they have been employing you age 13?
Well, exactly. Yeah. It was before school, and he was so tight, and he didn't even sack me. Well, he did, but he did it to my stepdad. He phoned up him, and he didn't have the guts to tell me. So I went round there, and I said, I've been sacked now. And he said the thing about the rabbit allegation. Like, oh, fair enough. Goodbye. Nice to do
how
business.
How poor is that? You can't even tell a 13-year-old she's been sacked.
If it is Lou, that would be quite scary. I would be a little bit intimidated.
Oh, you wait till I get that rap. You wait till I get that rap together, mister.
But then I did also get the sack from a bar job because they thought I was on drugs, but I was just really drunk. But they thought, no, they hadn't seen anyone
fine,
so drunk in all
being
their
drunk
life.
In a bar, that's
fine. Fine, isn't it? But you got drinks given to you, like when you were working, and you were allowed to have, like, you know, some drink. It was the worst bar in my... People had tags on their... It was in Ramsgate. People had tags on their legs and... Like prostitutes used to go there.
There's nothing wrong with Ramsgate for all our listeners in Ramsgate.
No,
it's a
Ramsgate,
wonderful place.
But this bar.
But
was,
it is full of prostitutes and people with tags
no,
on their legs.
Everywhere's
the
got
bar.
Prostitutes.
Have they?
Yeah, you know.
Not near, down near King's Cross where we are, surely.
The Caledonian Road, there's none, nowhere near there.
Surprise! It's me! anyway, so I was working and I got drunker and drunker and then. I put my foot in, you know those cigarette, the buckets that you put cigarette butts in? I got my foot stuck in one of those and I thought, I'll sort that out in a minute. And then I got the tray of drinks. I thought, I'll sort that out in a minute. I just got this tray of drinks somewhere. I twatted the drinks into the side. So I had an ash foot leg and the drinks, like all of them broke, or like half of them. And then they were like, oh, I think you better go home. And I was like, oh, there's no problem here. And then I was too embarrassed to go back in. So I didn't know whether I'd been sacked or not, but I thought...
Would you be upset, Lou, if you tuned into Foo Bar Radio next week, which you don't do, and found out I hadn't actually stopped the show? just a way
oh,
of getting rid of you. It was
oh
me and Andy doing
it
together.
If it was Andy, I wouldn't mind.
Oh, really?
It depends who it was.
Yeah. Who would be the worst person I could
to
replace
be honest,
you
I
with?
I'm not going to miss the money. Such a small amount of money. I'm not going to miss it. I've got a whole day back. I'm really happy, actually.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I've loved my experience.
It's been an amazing experience.
It's been so amazing. Fun.
The people here are just incredible.
I know you like the people.
They don't even listen to the show. They only just tuned in there to
realise
we
looked
around. To be honest,
you looked round to see the producer and she was having a chat.
They don't care.
Why
no
one, should they listen?
Why though? Should they listen to this rubbish?
Why should they? I'm on their side.
Let's listen to someone who's done some work with their art. Well, actually, it's the Wonder Stuff. They probably haven't done that much. It's Can't Shape Up. Do you like the Wonder Stuff?
Yeah, love it.
Yeah. So here they are. Well, look, this is for you, Andy. This is dedicated to Andy Parsons and our holiday in Newquay in 1991. We got up to some tricks that year. I expect, can't remember much about it, which suggests we were just drunk. I remember actually at the time I was determined to win. There was lots of those little grab toy things, machines. I was determined to win.
Fluffy bunny.
I was collecting all these little Klingon, you know, the little things that you put on something like little clingy toys there were at the time.
Oh, a monkey for the end of your
yeah,
pen,
sort of monkey
pencil.
Things. But then they go on to things and I got obsessed with giving them odd ones to Sarah Smith, our producer at the time, and yeah. I had one that was half a Batman
was
and half a...
Was that when you were trying to sleep on her camp bed at the same time, was it?
It was a little bit like that. I'll talk to you about that in a sec.
FUBAR, radio worth paying for.
Wow, we've been having some amazing chats in the interval about all sorts of malarkey. It's all been going on. We're still here with Andy Parsons. We're going to let him out of this sweatbox after this particular section.
You know, I've got a couple of pounds I need to lose, so I'm happy.
I don't think it's been this hot before in here.
No.
Is it the sexual chemistry between us, Lou, finally?
Between me and Andy, you mean?
Well, it was hot before he came in, to be fair, but it has got hotter since you've come in.
Well, honestly, when I just get in the building, you know, temperature tends to rise.
It does,
you know, yeah.
The ladies and the men.
Yeah.
It appeals to everyone.
My
Boys
own.
Boys love me. Women adore me. And I mean, even the ones that never saw me. Carry on.
I'm going to be eating some sushi. In the last side of the show, I'm going to be eating some sushi.
Oh, God. Can I just tell you, this is Rich's idea of broadcasting. So in the first 10 minutes, he said, he was saying what's coming up in the show, and he said, I've got a banana, I'm going to eat it later.
I mean, that
is what, you know, the radio landscape has been missing. Somebody talking through their culinary preferences on an hour-by-hour basis.
And he
followed
through
been,
on it as well.
Secretly, I haven't even told people during the second hour, I've eaten some Tesco grape, strawberry, blackberry and blueberries. It's
Don't
one of my five. I can't believe that's only one of my five.
Maybe you could tell us the sodium content of what you've just eaten as well.
I'd say it's negligible. It's less than 1%.
There we go.
It's 0.01 grams, so that's pretty good. There's a lot of sugar in fruit, but it's kind of good sugar. Not very much fat.
His wife had
no
five
saturates.
Fillings today. So.
There we
don't
go.
Talk about my wife's teeth. she might not like it.
I wasn't sure where you were going to go there.
She
with
hasn't
that
had any
story.
She hasn't been to the dentist for a long time. She just rang me to tell me she's got a lot of fillings to be put in. She hasn't had them done yet, though.
No.
But she's not happy about it.
No.
And do you get a little anaesthetic for five fillings there? Do you?
I don't know. I think they're doing it over a couple of days, so okay. there must be something in there.
Yeah.
How are your teeth?
We talk, yeah, do like strong teeth. You know, yeah. some parts of your body are that, you know, shocking. Yeah. But the teeth are a great shape.
They're staying in good shape. Because we're both 46 years old, and it starts to take its toll.
Do you think we'll have that battle as we get into our 70s, you know, and we'll be going, oh, he's not looking good. I don't reckon he's got long to go now, you know.
Talking about hips. Yeah. My stepdad loves talking about death and hips.
Yeah, I like talking about death. And my hips are all right. Your knees holding out okay? You're still quite sporty, aren't you?
There's nothing that's absolutely given up on me, you know. So
you play a lot of sport. You look like you exercise quite a bit.
Yeah, well, I try and get out of the house, definitely. You know.
Hey, you don't do a core workout. You do a core workout. Keep supporting radio, guys. Keep supporting radio.
What I love about Lewis, just it's the what she does after the joke that is what is funny.
You can't see it.
You can still hear it. That's the beauty of you, Lou. It's a wonderful thing.
50 minutes into an Edinburgh show, though, self-deprecation doesn't always work, does it?
No, I've tried it. Anyway.
She's a force of nature.
Don't do 50 minutes. That's the clue. Do 45.
Oh,
yes.
I always do
that. An hour slot, then, they come and say, you finished early.
I always do way too much. I can never get my Edinburgh show into 60 minutes.
I think that's
why I like touring, because I can do an hour and a half. But I always do 65.
I think it's so arrogant doing an hour and a half. I think it's so arrogant.
Yeah.
Talking of this man in this room, we once did an Edinburgh show with a man who was performing with a human brain. The show before us, and it was actually a genuine human brain.
The
and
same one all the time.
Same one, and it's
stuck. It would be.
You imagine 3 weeks in Edinburgh venue, and just we could, you know, we'd be retching for the first sort of 10 minutes, and you can imagine the audience. We knew what it was. The audience were going, by these Parsons and Naylor. They need a bit of a wash.
That's insane.
What was his show about?
It wasn't funny. It was partly drama and partly lecture, I think.
Right,
but it was. You know,
what was your double act, anyway? Was it? That
sketch
exactly. And stuff?
That's what it was.
It was
indescribable.
Parsons and Naylor. Any call to bring back Parsons and Naylor?
There's been no call.
No call.
The march on Parliament is yet to materialise. Yeah.
Do you still see Henry?
Very much so, but only on a social level. Yeah, but I think we, you know, both got kids now. So
yeah.
Of that. Are you thinking about that?
We're having a little think about it. Me and Lou are thinking about it.
We came up with an answer quite quickly. Was no. We shouldn't have to.
Nice. We don't even have to have sex. I can just give you. I'll use this cup.
Okay.
I can just stick that up you.
All right. Well,
I think it's. I mean, you know, far be it from me to know the internet.
Yeah.
But sticking a cup up somebody probably is
going to do it.
I'm very busy, like I say. Are balls you? To the wall, admin wise, 24/7. So.
And she's got balls.
And I got balls.
So maybe you could impregnate me with your balls.
Well, hello.
There's room in here. There's still some room. There's less room than there was, but there's still plenty of room down here.
How old are your children, please?
How old are your children?
Yes. Is this the one? Is this the cutting question we're going to be?
Yes.
Oh, my God, I'm crumbling.
I've given him an easy time of it, haven't I?
Yeah,
really?
Two years old.
A little diddly one.
Yeah, diddly one, yeah.
Little diddly one.
On a toddle. Still on a toddle.
Going to have some more to add to
maybe,
that.
Maybe. No, it's been slightly trickier than, to be honest, I didn't think about it too much, because if I had, I probably wouldn't have bothered.
But your wife did the thinking.
Yeah, she did a bit of thinking. Yeah, well, you've got to do a bit of thinking if you're going to carry it for 9 months.
And so do you fight, because this is interesting to me, as a man at the same age as you, but obviously I don't have a two-year-old child.
No.
But are you finding being an older dad, if it's fair to say that, is
to be honest,
is okay?
It hasn't really affected me at the moment. I expect when he goes to primary school and then he's got his 25-year-old dad and there's some sort of 100-metres dash for the parents, dad's going to be struggling.
It's kind of an odd thought, though, isn't it? So, I think if I have kids, I'm going to be sort of, when they're teenagers, I'm going to be in my 60s.
Yeah.
So that's sort of the same.
But then you think Gordon Brown didn't have a kid until he was mid-50s, did he? And then
it's
Charlie
changing
Chaplin.
Nowadays. I don't think you need to worry. It's changing much. And it's all a load of
toxins. You're in great shape.
I'm in fantastic shape.
Because you eat bananas, little bits of fruit,
sushi.
Very low sodium.
Sushi, I don't really like salt.
Isn't it amazing, though, going on tour and the invention of sushi in British supermarkets, it's made it so much better, isn't it?
It has. Well, but that's, whatever UKIP and John Gaunt may say, this country is a lot better than it was.
I love
1990s.
The way you're equating John Gaunt with UKIP.
He has stood for them.
Yeah. But he didn't invite Nigel Farage on the radio last week and go, hello, mate. Anyway, tell us your great policies.
He might as well have. But you know, the food was terrible. Even in the 90s, the food was terrible. And now you can, you know, you can travel and go and pick up a nice
pack a salad or a sushi if you want,
or something. You know, that's great.
Get an avocado.
People aren't complaining about food coming in, are they? What about this Japanese sushi coming in here, stealing all our Yorkshire puddings work?
Exactly.
They're not worried about it. They're going, this is good. Because it is good.
Okay.
The world, this country is a beautiful cosmopolitan.
I can see we're waking up to it. This is going to be the final thing. The headbutt.
This is much better.
Half an hour's time and I'm going to miss it.
You know, if only I could convince our five listeners to go out and not vote for UKIP at the next
if you've done
European
one good
election
thing for the world, that's it.
That could make all the difference.
That's what's going to survive you after your death.
But you can't defeat UKIP, because if anyone says don't vote for UKIP, then that's A, an advert for UKIP, and B, you can go, once again, we're being told that we're not allowed to say what we're saying. No one's allowed to say what we say.
We are anti-establishment. Although we worked as an MEP for 15 years, we went to private school and we were a stockbroker.
And we are... What are the things you're not allowed to say? Oh, you are saying all of the things you're not allowed to say. And they are all... Oh, got quite angry now. Oh. I'm gonna have to
pop
play
a song.
I'm going to have to play a record. Well, look, thanks to Andy Parsons for coming in. And that... Barrage against Farage that he gave there.
Oh,
started my own rapping there. We can do that. I'll give you a UKIP rap to do after this.
Okay,
Lou. Thanks,
maybe,
Andy.
Maybe you could play The Sun Has Got His Hat On in there. What a way to go out.
I might do. And are you doing anything you want to tell the listeners
about?
Nothing. No. New series of Not Mock the Week.
Just maybe.
Cool. All right. Here is Roy Orbison dead. He's fucking dead. He drove all night and now he is dead. Dead as a doorknob. It is all right, Roy. Thanks for driving all night and coming into my room. It's a bit weird, but it was all right because it was you. And you are dead. You're dead as a doorknob, my friend. That's what happens if you drive all night. Stay in bed at night. That is my advice to Roy Orbison. Right, Roy Orbison?
Yeah.
Dead.
That's what this neighbour said to me. Did you want to park? Did you want to park down there? And I was like, well, I mean, if there's an option. No, you can't.
I've just eaten a bit of sushi, just a sushi update. This is Tesco sushi, which is not the best one, but as Andy says, I'm impressed that sushi has made it to the major supermarkets. I was in, I was just passing through somewhere like Dundee or somewhere like that, and I was saying to my tour manager, you know, I'm going to go and get some sushi in Dundee, and we were laughing.
Oh, yeah.
Then we had some in Tesco, so, you know. More fool me. It wasn't even as good as Dundee, the place. I can't remember where it was.
But
it was somewhere.
Sushi, really, it's not that healthy. It's just rice, isn't it?
It's very, very healthy. It's fish and it's...
Yeah, but it's not that healthy. It's not green. You know, I mean, it's just rice.
Stop it. Shut up.
Okay.
Here's a couple of emails. David Barnes says, sorry to hear you're going, Mr. Herring. I always meant to email in asking if you could go through some of the old music from your brief Radio 1 show with Stuart Lee. It wasn't that brief. We did it for a couple of years. I found them on some old cassette tape some time ago. I can honestly say I'd never and have never since heard such random songs. Detachable Penis. Mm. Ring a bell? It does. That's by King Missile, Detachable Penis. Mm-hmm. Could you get that up for us? We'll play that in the last hour. Oh, I'm not able to do that. I'll just play you on my phone later on. It goes, Detachable Penis. So thanks for listening, David. Sorry, we're leaving as well. Maybe if you'd emailed in earlier, we'd have stayed. So think about that. If you want to blame anyone, David Barnes, it's his fault that we're leaving. And Gav Shack from Rugby.
Gav Shack. There's a little old shack.
I don't quite understand. I don't quite understand this one. Amanda says sushi is full of sugar to make the rice something, but I haven't got the rest of the thing.
Yeah, sushi's not that healthy, honestly.
It's very, very healthy. It's low calories. Stop shaking your heads. Look at this. Look at this. I've lost nearly 2 stone this year. And that's mainly through eating sushi. I don't get this story, Gav Shack, but, you know, you're called Gav Shack. I don't see whose girlfriend this is. See if you understand it, Lou. Pay attention.
Yes, yes.
Once me and some friends were crashing at our mate's house, I was top to tailing with one of my male friends whilst his brother's... Oh, OK. Whilst his brother's girlfriend was sleeping on the other sofa. Mm. OK, so it's a male friend and his male friend's brother's girlfriend. I woke up in the middle of the night to the sight of them both doing naughty things next to me.
Oh, no.
That is my breakup story, though it's not
that's
your breakup,
horrible.
Is it? It's the breakup of that guy's So maybe they stayed together unless you went and, you know, you went and blabbed about it, did you? Leave them have their illicit sex. Who cares? It doesn't matter. It's all just bodies pressing against each other. Who cares? So, yeah, it's full of sugar to make the rice sticky.
You don't say that when the Max Clifford's trial, do you?
What?
It's all just bodies pressing against each other, Max Clifford.
Isn't it consensual? That is all right. I'm just eating some of the sushi with the rice stuck together and there's no sugar in it. I can't taste any. So it's fine. You speak for a bit, Liv. I've got a mouthful of rice.
I can tell you about bath.
Please do.
So it was very interesting, the bath, Roman baths that you go across and everything. But there was this new guy called Brian, who is obviously his first tour, and he was really nervous. He was so cute as hell. Oh, you had my own mic done the whole time.
I was eating rice. I didn't want people to hear the...
I thought it was a joke.
I didn't want to spoil your lovely story.
Sorry for shouting so loud in the microphone, if anyone's listening. No, not you, the listeners. So this guy, Brian, it was his first tour, and he was like, you're very lucky today because there's going to be two of us taking you around. And then the girl would pitch in with knowledge, but it was a bit like one-upmanship. So he would say something, and then she would come in and go, and Brian, if I may just take over here. I mean, what Brian says, you know, that's totally right. And have you ever thought of if you were in Roman times? And then she would, like, do it in a really sickly way of, like, and I don't know about you, but when I take a bath, I don't do it for 8 hours. And it was like, it was so awful. But I was transfixed. It was amazing.
Oh, good.
So that happened.
And how did you get on with whoever you were? Who were you there with again?
Oh, just a friend. Just a friend.
Did you have full sexual intercourse with this friend?
I'm sorry.
I once went on a romantic break to Bath. I should have warned you about this.
Did
I tell about this the other day?
No, I mentioned romance. Go on.
I went with a young lady I was seeing at the time, and it was quite a few years ago. I was on TV at the time. It was in the late 90s, and I didn't get recognised very much, but in Bath, I'm quite glad not to get recognised. But I was having, because, you know, other people pretend to be me, so they take the hard work away from me. But we were having dinner, and then some young people saw us through the window and started banging on the window and shouting. And then they wouldn't go away. And then I tried to ignore them, be cool. And then they came into the restaurant, and no one was doing anything. And they were kind of. And then I went to the loo, and two of them followed me. So I went into the cubicle to get away from them, because I thought they were going to try and beat me up or something. And they said, awful. I hate that when someone's so scared about the size of their penis, they go into the cubicle. I went in there because, you know, they were following me around, which I think I'd say was weirder.
Yeah.
And then so they all kind of went a bit wrong.
You should have got your dick out and said, this medium-sized monster.
I should have got it out and slapped them in the face with it. And gone, that small enough for you? Yeah. I went in.
We had a treatment.
It's so hot in here. I might have to have a sleep.
But it's the prep for Edinburgh. We went to have a treatment in the spa thing, and the women there were exactly the same. There were two, like, robot women, God bless them. And it was like they were robots, so they were like...
Why were they like robots?
Because they were... Okay, do an impression.
I am a robot. Were they doing that?
But there was no interaction. It was just a patter. So, okay, so if you could just take your robe off for me there and just pop it on the hook there. Yeah. And then, so they went through the whole thing like that, and there was no, you didn't feel like it was, everything was a patter. And then they said, like, afterwards, they said, okay, now do remember to drink lots of water. You will need to hydrate, okay, after the treatments you had. There's a lot of water points all over the spa, and you are welcome to come back anytime to the restrooms here. And it was, and then I was doing an impression of it to my friend, and then he was like, oh my God, it's exactly the same. And he had exactly the same thing.
So I'll do a blog. I've got what I'm going to do for you, Lou. It's a blog from 2003. I haven't read it for over 10 years.
Yes.
It may be terrible, but it refers to what we were talking about, the Avril Lavigne.
Hey, what's in your diary?
This is...
what's in your diary?
It's my takedown, basically, of a song from over a decade ago. Let's see how it goes. Avril Lavigne is heading for a fall. I have many problems with her catchy but self-satisfied hit record Skater Boy. I didn't even know at the time that you spelled that with an H in it.
Yeah.
I know I'm 35. Oh, that's nearly the same age as you. That's amazing.
Well, I mean...
I mean, you know, you're younger than that.
Knock a seven off.
Yeah, but that's amazing. Well, I was once nearly the same age as you.
Yeah.
God, that's so long ago. And I should have better things to do than to deconstruct the lyrics of a song written by a petulant teenager, but I don't. I also hope that if I do this, then Avril may look herself up on a search engine Yes, that's how long ago this was. That's what we used to call them.
That's good.
She does it, believe me, don't you, Avril? First, this page, providing I spelt her name wrong, and finds this page and realises the folly of her youth and changes her way. I'm working from memory. The song begins, he was a boy, she was a girl. Can I make it any more obvious? Let's go over the fact that just because two people are of opposing gender, that doesn't necessarily make it obvious they want to shag each other, despite what I just said to you, interestingly enough. I am a boy and Jeanette Cranky is a girl. Admittedly, while he dresses like a boy, could I have chosen a more confusing example? And, well, maybe I'm wrong on that point. He was a punk, she did ballet. What more can I say? I would like a bit more information, to be honest. Avril seems to be labelling the girl by what she does. The rest of the song argues that such labelling is a bad thing, but Avril does not notice the hypocrisy of her statement. He wanted her, she'd never tell. Secretly, she wanted him as well. Here we start to see a recurring problem in the song. She would never tell. How do we know about this secret lover? At the moment, we possibly presume that the girl is Avril herself. How do we know about a secret love otherwise? It transpires that they can't get together because the girl's friends have a problem with the punk's baggy clothes. Clearly, these people are at school. They're all quite superficial. Even had the boy and girl got it together, I think it's statistically unlikely the couple would be together in 5 years. The chorus tells us the snotty girl tells the boy, who also likes skating apparently, though it isn't made clear if this is roller or ice skating, to sling his hook because he isn't good enough for her. What a nasty attitude. I'd imagine the bloke would probably think cow and forget her. But the second verse sees an almighty and unexpected twist. It's 5 years from now. What does that mean? Was the first verse set in the present and the rest happens in the future? Does she mean 5 years from then? And the snobby girl is in desperate circumstances. She's landed herself as a single mother and is looking after a kid all alone. Presumably at some point in the last 5 years, she's let her high standards slip a little bit. She turns on MTV and sees the skater boy rocking. Again, whether this is on a horse or simply back and forth is not clarified. She calls up her friend, who already knows, and have ticket to see a show. Though at no point have any of these friends said to her, "Hey, remember that bloke we at school with? He's a big rock star now. I wish we hadn't had such a problem with his baggy clothes. He might have given us some free tickets." She goes along to the show and looks up at the skater boy slamming on his guitar. He doesn't even know how to play it. He is the boy she turned down. Yeah, the boy she turned down for a date at school. Like I say, it seems unlikely they'd still be going out now if she'd said yes. Avril seems to be implying that the single mother lifestyle she is now suffering is a direct result of her snobbishness. Rather than feeling sympathy for the woman in her early 20s who's been let down by some man and left with a child, she's crowing at her saying, "Does your pretty face see what he's worth?" Okay. This girl judged the skater boy because of his baggy clothes in the same way that Avril judged her for liking ballet, but surely she doesn't deserve to be punished for turning him down, even if she did secretly fancy him. And how do we know about the secret fancying? Surely the rest of the song will tell us. Perhaps she'll go backstage and meet the skater boy and apologise and say, "Actually, the irony is, I did fancy you all along. Now I'm no longer a teenager. I appreciate it was shallow of me to judge you by your clothing, and I would like to apologise. But you're doing really well now, so I'm sure it can't bother you that much." But no, that doesn't happen. The girl and the boy never meet. Instead, Avril starts crowing about the fact that she's got the skater boy now, how they're in love and how they rock each other's world. "He's a superstar. You fucked up. I'm more than just good friends with him. Oh yeah, I'm doing him and everything." So how does Avril know this girl? There's no connection between them. The ballet girl never told anyone that she secretly fancied the skater boy. Presumably they're no longer in touch. So how does the skater boy or Avril know that the girl came to the gig? Clearly the only way Avril could know about this girl is because her fantastic boyfriend has been going on about her. It was obviously of great importance to him, and Avril, overly pleased with herself, having landed a cool rock star boyfriend, not that she judges by appearances and would presumably still love him if he was an out-of-work ballet dancer, is fuming with jealousy that her boyfriend had this apparently unrequited love at school. So much so that she's invented this scenario where the pretty-faced girl has had her life fall to pieces. Or possibly she's so in love that she hasn't noticed her boyfriend's stories doesn't hold together. Perhaps the two actually did get it together and he fathered the baby but didn't want to know. Now he's invented this story that she is a mad girl from school and is stalking him and coming to his concerts. He makes himself appear the victim by saying he was in love with her, but she never gave him the time of day. This goes on for ages. Whatever the truth... It's good, though. Passes some time aside. Whatever the truth of this twisted story, I think Avril is being short-sighted, both in terms of the relationship and her boyfriend's career. It's very easy to be smug about how well things are going, but I want Avril to think about how things will be in 5 years from now, or 10 years from now, if the concert and everything is actually happening 5 years from now. Most rock stars' careers have a very short shelf life. Certainly something as ephemeral as skater-based rock is unlikely to be around for that long. Perhaps the skater boy will reinvent himself, but more likely, I think, he'll have fleeting fame and then have to cope with the after effects. In the meantime, time, the ballet girl will have grown, well, have a growing child and probably have found a lasting relationship with someone mature enough to take her and the kid on. She'll probably be finding her feet. She'll look at MTV and see the skater boy is having troubles with drugs and money. Her aging but still pretty face will see what he's worth now. In any case, realise there are more important things than material wealth and fame. Maybe she was struggling with the toddler, the glamour of the rock star seemed exciting, but the reality is it could never have worked out. She's aware that if she did fancy him a bit at school, that wouldn't have been enough to base a long life relationship on. Sure, she was a bit shallow back then, but through the trials of her life has realised what is important. Avril Lavigne, on the other hand, will have had time to see that her skater boy boyfriend is not all that he was cracked up to be. They may have rocked each other's world to begin with, but things quickly soured, especially when she started getting even more successful than her boyfriend, largely due to a song she had written about his life, which must have been annoying. She's realised that having a famous boyfriend isn't as important as being with someone who cares about you. Another 5 years from then, or now, or whatever it is, something else could happen. My point is, it's short-sighted to brag about how brilliant your life is, especially when you're essentially kicking a woman who is down enough already. I'm spending too much time driving around in cars, listening to the radio, and thinking about lyrics that were not made to be thought about.
Did she write the song?
Yeah, of course she did. She's not going to sing. She's not like Andy Parsons getting teams of writers in to write all his jokes for him. She does her own stuff.
Can I read you an email that I've got?
Yeah, sure, I'll leave it. So
just while that was coming in.
Pass some time, isn't it?
Hello, dear. I wish you best compliment of the day. My name is Sophie Cormer, a good-looking girl. Well, I'm sorry that I did not say so much about myself in our profile in this site. Cannot say everything about us. I have a special reason of contacting you, so I would like you to respond to my email address. There I can tell you everything about myself and the reason I am contacting you and also send my pictures to you. Yours, Miss Sophie Cormer. Write to me, OK?
Does she think you're a gentleman?
Yeah. I imagine so, yeah.
That's nice. Well, it's nice you found someone.
Should I get
to your current relationship? If your current relationship doesn't work out, I know it's not a relationship. Whoever this guy was in Bath.
Oh, I don't think you... I'm trying to be more mysterious and not talk about everything that's going on in my life.
Yeah, it's not
going to
work out. And I've chosen a little song for you based on your what is kind of quite a modern romance isn't it?
Current status.
Your current status is single, is it?
Well.
But, you know, in a way, isn't that modern love? Let's go over to David Bowie to find out if that is what modern love is with his song Modern Love by David Bowie.
Richard Herring, ripping you a new ear hole.
Just me. We're getting into this new, this last 30 minutes of our FUBAR career. I'm starting to feel a little bit sad. I'm starting to think, have we made the right choice, Lou?
We have time to
reconsider. Let's really think about it in these last 2 to 3 links that we're doing. Have we got some news? Have you got any news? We've been looking during the...
This is a good one.
This is... Hold on. This is...
Oh, well, that's news to me. News time.
Oh. By the way, if anyone does want to hire me for jingles or raps...
Yeah.
Then good luck, because I'm really busy.
Cool.
This one is... Cool. Women in her 30s pose as a teenage student. The woman spent months pretending to be a 15-year-old in a Texas high school where everybody believed her. Does happen... Shed some
How old is she, 30?
For the Channel 4 thing. Yeah. She looks like she's got a few issues. God bless her. But Shed Smove did it for a Channel 4 programme ages ago. Do you remember?
No.
He got in a lot of trouble, I think. Well, Channel 4 did. A woman in her 30s... And then he got really upset because he sort of forgot the moral obligation. A woman in her 30s posed as a teenager to enrol at a high school in Texas. Charity Johnson. That's the name.
Charity Johnson.
Charity spent months at the school before being arrested for giving false police information about her name.
Oh, you can't arrest her. What's wrong with that? Going to school.
She had been caught in an apartment where the person Johnson was living with her, who said she no longer wanted her to stay there.
Yeah.
She acted like she was a 15, 16-year-old.
Thank you.
She was an attentive student, respectful, did her own work.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah.
What's the problem?
I don't know. What is the problem? Why is she doing it?
Did she touch any of the kids?
Nobody seems to know why she posed as a teen. They've not determined her motives.
I would really like to go back to school. I don't think I'd get away with it. I'd be like Rodney Dangerfield in the film Back to School. But I would like. I liked school. And I was happy in school, and I like being institutionalised. I would like to have that. I'd like it. The days I had a day last week when we recorded this, where I had to do some writing in the morning, had to come and do this, then I had to go somewhere else and do something else. I did that show for Dave with Alan Davis, and you know the whole day was mapped out for me and like a timetabled, and I enjoyed that. And I would like my whole day, like, just like if someone says, and now it's 12 o'clock, Richard, eat your tea.
I'd hate it.
Now it's 3 p.m., make love with your wife. And everything was written down in a timetable, and then you could go out and play at break time.
I'd hate it, hate it, hate it, hate it.
Didn't you like school?
I just feel like I'm more spontaneous and creative than you, so I just hate restrictions.
I think if they said, now sit down, this lesson is you writing some stuff, you've got an hour, you need to have the stuff by the end of the hour, and then there's a gold star if you do it.
Nobody tell baby what to do.
That would, no, they don't, but that would work for me.
That would work for you. Oh. This is the last bit of it. She said she was staying with a woman, and this woman found out, you know, that she's a 31-year-old woman.
Yeah.
And she said on TV, I sympathised with her and invited her into my home. I took her in as a child, did her hair, got her clothes and shoes. Oh, dear. Poor woman.
She liked it. It was nice. No one is hurt in this story. Then it just turns out the person was a bit older. And age is just a number.
That's true.
Which is a dangerous thing when you're talking about school children. But if the person is older than a school child age, that's great. It's the idea. She should hire herself out to paedophiles who want to sleep with schoolgirls,
yes,
and they think they're being disgusting and naughty and doing something wrong. And
yes,
then the police arrive and then they go, ah, ha, ha, bad luck, mate. You,
yes,
weren't even being a paedophile.
Yes.
And then they go, you had sex with a proper grown-up woman.
Yes.
So have you learnt your lesson that that is what you should be doing? And then the paedophile go, yes, thank you to this woman for helping me out.
Another problem solved by Dickie Herring.
What do you think about the all the celebrities who have been putting their money into this secret tax scheme? Like Gabby Logan, who seems like a nice lady. I've met Gabby. I've been on a TV show with her. She seemed nice. She's claiming it's this scheme where you put loads of money into a thing that was supposedly to help the music business, but then it was a good way of avoiding tax for various reasons.
Yeah.
She says, well, do you think so? But like, do you think like if you're getting out of £20 million worth of tax between Gary Barlow and, you say everyone did it, but Jason Orange didn't do it, did he?
No.
So, like, some of the Take That people did it, but Jason Orange went, I'm not going to do that.
What's your tax finances looking like?
Pretty good. You know, I pay my tax.
Do you pay your full whack or do you do a little cut around?
Well, you know, we all play around a little bit with the legality.
Are they on number crunching? I think so.
But I think it's, I pay a lot of money in tax. Mm. I work hard. I play hard.
I mean, to be fair, I pay nothing in tax. Hardly anything in tax.
Exactly. You're like Gary Barlow.
No, it's because I don't earn very much money. So I'm clean as a whistle.
Yeah. You know, but it's important to get payback the money.
I feel
to
really like I want to punch something right now.
What happened? What's gone wrong?
I just feel like...
Have I upset you, Lou?
I feel like I want to lash out physically.
You can punch me. It'd be a great end to the show.
Non-sexually.
What kind of sexual punch is there? Are you in some kind of sexual relationship where punching is part of the sex? Because it's all right if you're both into it, but it's a dangerous area to get into.
I feel like I want to either play a game of football or just hit something.
Well, you can punch me. The problem is I've got
stitches.
Well, I've got stitches in. If you hit me really hard, it might pop my stitches.
Can I give you a dead leg as a last hurrah?
Yeah, if you like.
Okay, but can I though? Don't get close to me.
But don't hit me in the cock. My cock is quite long.
I learned that lesson with Brett. He doesn't like it. Okay, but you can't get angry then when I do.
Let me take out my my coins.
Okay, no back. Don't.
So you're going to go. You can go down for this leg here. It's pretty tough. You know, I'm like Houdini.
Okay.
No,
can you?
Don't hit me in the knee.
Not
in the knee.
No, there.
Okay.
Give me a bit of angle on it.
Okay. All right. 3, 2, 1. Only once. She's hit me 3 times.
Oh, that was really fun.
That helped.
Oh, yeah.
The first one didn't hurt. The next, but then, dude, I wasn't expecting the other two. That's like Houdini says, he just tensed. I tensed the first time and the first one flicked off me like a fly.
Oh, I really enjoyed that. That was lush.
Can I now wank on your tits?
No.
No?
Oh. No, otherwise that gets punched too.
Okay.
And it harder.
I don't mind.
Oh.
I thought we were just having some fun. I thought we were just fulfilling all our fantasies at the end of
This is a dream wish fulfilment show. Yeah.
It's the new Jim Will Fix It. Why don't we rebrand it? Whatever the listeners want, we'll do. And they can just send in anything they want and we'll
it's
have it.
Too
we'll
late.
Do it.
It's too
it
late.
It is too late. As the great Ben Folds song, Too Late, about old What's-His-Face committed suicide, and it's terrible that I can't think of his name. You know, old What's-His-Face killed himself too late now, isn't it? So, good, we might as well play another song, because we've got plenty of songs, and, you know, people like listening to music,
I've got
to
make a phone call in this one, so...
Well, I'll put on a long one.
This is
The Groove of Marder. They're a very popular band here at FUBAR. This is the hit Paper Romance. It goes on for ages. It's 6 minutes, so go and make a cup of tea, have a wank.
I'll tell you about a really good app as well.
Oh, great. Well, that'd be good. Well, you know, we've got very little time left, so make sure you fill this every unforgiving second with something worthwhile. We'll be back with Lou Sanders, more news in our final...
And punching!
20, 40 minutes. I even cried when you punched me.
I'm on the phone now.
Okay.
So finish up, will
you? FUBAR. Worth more than you're paying.
Hello, it's me, Richard Herring, and Lulu is off the phone. What's that about? What's going on?
Oh,
on the phone
don't
to your
worry.
Tax man?
No, don't
your
worry.
Your accountant?
No.
Your nothing this year again, Lou, I see.
Don't worry about it. Just some business taken care of.
Oh,
another
yeah.
day at FUBAR. I'm going to miss doing my admin, actually.
You are, yeah. How are you going to get your admin done? You've had a good time here, Lou.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it.
I have.
Have you had any other good news stories coming up? I spotted...
Good news story? Why don't you ask Russell Howard?
It's a good point. With sparkling wood like that.
Well, that's news to me.
It's surprising.
News time.
Surprising that we're not going to be doing more of the stuff. Kate Humble from the TV Nature programmes.
Nice name.
Likes to take her clothes off in the natural environment.
That's nice, Kate.
She likes to, you know, run around. But she worries about the bloody, I think it is. It's in the Daily Mirror, it's asterisked out. It's BL-DY. So I'm guessing that's bloody. It might be bloody.
Might be...
Blindy, the blindy tick season.
Mm-hmm.
The, no, I think it's probably...
Blubbery.
It's not enough letters and there's a D in there.
Sure.
I think it's probably bloody, but it's good that they've censored that.
Yes.
As the Mirror has reported, Britain is in the grip of an epidemic of ticks. Blood-sucking
tits.
Bugs.
Not
which,
tits, guys.
Ticks. Which can spread... Saving all the good stuff for the end of it. I don't know why you're doing this. Can spread nasty ailments like Lyme disease that can affect your skin, joints, heart and nervous system. So do be careful. While Kate may be at one with most of nature, the bugs really tick her off. Tick her off.
Meow.
Because she's joined forces with a firm that makes a treatment for cats and dogs, Spot On. Oh, she's trying to publicise Spot On. She doesn't even believe in this. Fleas and ticks are a huge problem, she says. Trust me, I've had ticks. They like warm crevices. I'll leave it to your imagination where I got them.
Whoa.
I think it is inside her vagina.
Whoa.
That is where my imagination has immediately gone there. So to say leave it to your imagination,
yeah.
I think that's just inviting us to think about her vagina. That's like just that Kate Humble might have been said, I'd like you to think of a little thing sucking on my vagina, please. It might be that's what she's done. She's playing it all cool by pretending that, I'll leave it to your I'll leave it to your imagination. It might not even be a vagina, but I've immediately thought about a vagina full of ticks sucking blood out of her vagina.
And okay, Max Clifford.
That's what I've been thinking about, and it's Kate Humble's fault that I'm thinking about that. I would never have voluntarily thought about ticks sucking blood out of Kate Humble's vagina.
Okay.
And now, and anus maybe as well.
Okay.
But
Kate Humble, now you're being rumbled, because we're thinking about your bumhole.
That's good.
Thank you.
You've really hit your stride in this. Maybe what we should do next week is record 3 hours and then just use the last 20 minutes, but then do another 3 hours afterwards. Are you in for that?
Mm.
I'm really thinking of coming back with that. Just for the joke, really thinking of coming and doing one next week.
Just for the joke.
Yeah, I think it'd be worth it.
In your 20 years doing stand-up, I think it's your finest joke.
It will be my finest joke. I've had some good ones. Bloody Kate Humble making me think about her, vagina with blood being sucked out of it. Kate, who's outside, she did it on purpose. Look at her little, but it looks like butter wouldn't melt in her mouth, doesn't it there?
Oh, we didn't tell you about the guest that's coming up next. It's Kate Humble.
Kate Humble, I'd love that. I'd love to talk to her about why she's made me think that. She's got three dog terriers, Badger and Bella and Teg the Welsh sheepdog. She uses a special tick hook to get the insects off the dogs, then stamps on the pesky creatures. I'm merciless. Everyone should be checking and de-ticking their pets, says Kate, who is devoted to her dog. This isn't news!
It's not news.
She's
but you've read
us.
It out. You've
I
read
know.
It out.
Max Clifford's getting divorced.
Is he? That's a surprise.
It's nothing's going right for that guy.
Hey, do you know what my friend told me? A story about Max Clifford. She's a worse as a journalist.
Yeah, well,
so
I don't... Are you allowed to say? Are you allowed to tell
this
us on the radio?
This is an exclusive,
we'll find
an
out.
Apparent exclusive.
Yeah.
It could not be true. It's true. Could not be true. It's true. So he was married and he went to... He's got this home that he uses as his, like, kind of shag pad.
Yeah.
And...
That will be available for other married men now, presumably for a while he's in prison, so maybe I could get the keys to that shag pad for myself.
Ah, interesting. No!
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Anyway, the drains were blocked, and the wife was like, oh, the drains are blocked. And then...
The wife knew about the shag pad.
Well, no.
No, but in his own house.
Well, I'm telling you the story.
You're not telling it very well. The drains were blocked where?
Right.
In the shag pad? Because she doesn't know about it.
In the alleged shag pad. Yeah. That she did know about the house, but she didn't know what he used it for.
Allegedly,
the drains were blocked, and then she was like, oh, and they got a plumber in, and they were like, oh, yeah, there's loads of used condoms blocking the drain.
Oh, Max, throw those in the bin.
But who knows? And also, let people
That's like the Mark Armand story.
Oh, is it?
Well, I mean, you know, it's clearly not true, because, because they would flush away anyway. And you know, how many sexes can Max Clifford have? He's an old man.
And also,
the Mark Armand story that he had his stomach pumped and there was loads of different people's and dog's sperm and stuff in there.
Yeah.
It's clearly not true because, you know, why would they test the sperm and find out how many different people it came from? They're a hospital. They haven't got time for
and
that.
And also, I'm trying not to gossip about anyone, so that's not nice. So just, could we edit
We can gossip. No, we can't. We can gossip about Max Clifford.
No, I don't want to gossip about anyone.
What do you mean you don't want to gossip? You just told the story.
I know, but I felt bad when I was doing it.
Well, it's too late. It's gone out. And if it bothers you that much, you can. I'll give you a few weeks off to think about what you've done.
Okay.
I'm going to give you.
Do I get annual leave?
You do. You get. In fact, you're going to get a year's leave. A year's annual leave
is
now.
Is it full pay?
In perpetuity. If you're prepared to come round the house and do some cleaning and stuff, I'm happy to pay you the same. If you come round and do.
Oh God.
But you probably need to do more than 3 hours cleaning. So you know, but maybe 4 hours.
Right. Okay. Well, I'll be round on Tuesday.
Cool. We haven't got all that long left. Maybe I'll play. I'll play a little song on, and then we'll do our final little bit until we have fulfilled our contractual obligation and can leave.
I'm going to think of some real good messages to leave on.
Okay, good. Yeah, you have some moral. We could have our own Marion's mottos she's not been around. Okay. This is Cass Elliot, "Dream a Little Dream." That's a nice song, isn't it?
That's nice.
Dream a little dream of us still being here next week.
Stars shining bright above you.
Richard Herring and Lou Sanders, ripping you a new ear hole.
It's here, Lou. We're down to our last link ever on FUBAR Radio, although the door is always open. That's what I have heard. It's been a fabulous time. I'd like to thank everyone for
it's
having us.
It's been great. It's been
a lot of fun. I might be a bit choked up about it. No, I'm all right. I'm all right. No, it's all right. I'm okay. I'm okay. Don't worry. Thanks for giving us this opportunity. It's been a lot of fun.
It's been fun. Been nice to work with you, Rich.
It's been lovely working with you. I'll miss you. Do you want to just come around every week and we'll just have a chat?
Yeah, I suppose. I'm really busy, though. no doubt I'll see you on the UK Comedy Circuit.
Yeah, probably I'll see you twice last night, so that's sounding good.
Probably see you on the international one.
And you're going to be at the Edinburgh Fringe at the same time as me, so tell us about that, because people at home might want to come and see you.
Lou Sanders in another great show again. And, guys, good news for everyone. Good news for purse strings everywhere. I'm on the Free Fringe. What are you on?
I am at the Expensive Fringe. Mm-hmm. I am at the George Square Theatre at 10:45 p.m. every night doing Lord of the Dance Settee. My play, I Killed Rasputin, which I'm hoping writing tomorrow.
Have you got a slot for that then?
Yeah, 3:35 p.m, 80-minute slot, also at the George Square Theatre. There's lots of tickets for that because it's a 500-seater theatre for both of those shows.
Am I in it?
Am
I Rasputin?
There's some you know, parts for young actresses.
Oh God, not the casting couch.
It might be the casting couch too.
Not this again.
Yeah, but only if they're prepared to dress up in a beard and a monk smock.
That is my thing.
Is it? Do you like that? I'm doing that. Loads coming up. I mean, it's just unfortunately, it's just work has become too pressing for both of us, which is good for us.
Can I plug some other things?
Yeah,
Our listener.
Yeah, go on.
Call back. So I'm doing Drink Shop Do Night. Well, I'm doing a preview on Friday 23rd.
Yeah.
So that's tomorrow for the guys that are listening.
They are. Or yesterday if you're listening on Saturday.
Yeah, Camden Head, Camden.
Or 2 weeks ago if you're listening to the repeats, if they just keep putting this on once we're gone.
Let's just get through the first. So Camden Head, Camden. I'm doing a preview with Rachel Stubbings, Luke McQueen as I'm seeing. Then...
Seems a shame to waste our last few minutes on air just plugging stuff, Lou. We could be talking about
I've got some good messages. Drink Shop Do in King's Cross on Wednesday the 4th of June.
Yeah.
Lovely little night. Bridget Christie.
Oh, she's good. I'm doing a preview with her at some point.
Adam Riches.
Well, that's
I'll
a very good lineup.
Do a little sign on a stage. Oh, do you want my mottos? I just wrote them.
Well,
that
I'll just
on.
Do. I'll just oh. remind people they can see my DVD record at the Bloomsbury Theatre on Friday the 23rd. If they want to come, you get a free DVD for coming along.
I don't think they will because that's the same night as my night.
It's only 15 quid. I gave you a code to make it for 10 quid if you listen back, and you get a free DVD worth 12 quid. So you'll be 2 quid up if you come on Friday
exactly.
with that code. You've got some mottos. You've got some Lou's mottos for
yes.
us. I can't believe we didn't think of doing this before.
Okay, here we go. Okay, guys, some mottos to live your lives by because we're going. Motto number one, love thy neighbour. And hey, the TV show is not bad either. Bingo, bango, she's back in the driving seat.
The 1970s TV okay. show Love Thy Neighbour, is that what you're referring to?
No, Neighbours. Okay, here's
oh,
another
neighbours,
one.
Oh, Neighbours, okay.
No, motto number two, judge
there was
not...
A it was confusing because there is a TV show called Love Thy Neighbour, so Love Thy Neighbours, that should be...
Okay. Judge
just helping you out with the comedy. This is the last judge. You've got basically a free masterclass with me, and I can help you out with your with the stuff you're doing. But, you know, you're wasting the last 3 minutes of
judge
our time.
Judge not lest you be judged.
Yeah.
And Judge Judy is a great okay, number three.
I saw that one coming.
Yeah, because it's the same structure.
Yeah, same joke.
You'll see this one coming.
Okay, let me try and guess it.
Blessed are the peacemakers. And hey, Brian Blessed's not.
I wouldn't have got that.
Yes,
he was good in
keepers.
Flash Gordon.
Three keepers. I'll probably put them on set.
I'd start your Edinburgh show with those three. That should be fine. And some breaking news. James Acaster has won the international award at the New Zealand Comedy Festival.
That's nice. Well
so
done.
I would
he's
say,
brilliant.
I'd say he's a name to watch out for in Edinburgh. Have you got any recommends for shows that aren't ours? Because it seems selfish
yeah,
for
that's
us
true.
To...
He's brilliant.
Who should people be looking out for, Lou? Not just your friends.
Oh, whose shows am I looking forward to?
I can't think of anyone who's going up at all. I should come see me. You should go and see Lou. She's good. Mm. James Acaster's doing well.
He's brilliant, yeah.
Robin Ince is up there. Stuart Lee sold out, apparently.
Already?
Yeah.
Oh, blimey.
Oh, yeah, that's how it goes.
Oh, blimey, heck.
Paul Merton might be up there.
Mm-hmm.
Doing Impro Chums. He's good fun. Mm-hmm. Sean Walsh might be there. Probably not. I'm just looking at pictures of the comedians now and guessing he'll be there. I'll just check I got that right about James Acaster. Yeah, he's won the Best International Award at the New Zealand Comedy Festival.
Ah, great.
For a show recognised. So book tickets for that because that will definitely sell out.
Yeah.
You'll probably be all right buying tickets for me on the day. I'm going to be honest with you. I can't foresee it going that well. If it goes that well, then it doesn't really matter. So we've had a good time here at FUBAR Radio. You know, we joke a lot about stuff and the things we don't like about it.
Mm.
And all those jokes were true. But it has also been quite good. So I'd like to thank Amanda, our current producer,
yeah.
Talia, our previous producer,
yeah.
Joe and all those, Will and that bloke with the funny hair. It was,
he had
all hair, didn't he? And that bloke who we came with was to us to interview Robert Webber, he was nice. And Duncan was nice. Ewan and Ali, I mean, that's who I was talking about.
Yeah.
And that was good. It's like I just remembered. It's been... And we got a cactus each.
Yeah.
Takeaway. Got some WD-40.
We'll
have to keep the WD-40.
Actually, I do need that for
we're not. We're not allowed to have it. I've got loads at home.
Oh, cool. I'll be round up Tuesday anyway for my cleaning shift.
Don't want to publicise, but WD-40 is very good if you've got squeaky chairs or door handles. So that's just my... If I had to end on a Marion's motto... I suppose my motto would be, you know, have a think about whether you want to do something carefully before you do it.
Richard.
And then do it anyway. Have a go, because you never know what fun there might be.
Okay, we've had a lovely time. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. I don't know who's going to be on the show next week. Who's doing the show next week, Amanda? Next week is a surprise who will be in this slot next week. I think it will be Joseph Mengele, the Nazi doctor who experimented at the concentration camps. That's my guess. Fingers crossed. It will be a controversial booking if they could get him. Thank you very much for listening.
Thanks.
And we're going to go out with AC/DC. You Shook Me All Night Long, and we hope we did shake you.
Oh.
I've certainly been shaking myself all night long. And it's just about to hit the money shot.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Lou. It's been really nice.
I love you, really. Rich.
You're
love
very, very
you.
Funny. Go and see Lou's show.
Thanks,
at Edinburgh.
Mate, you
Thank
too.
You, everyone. We're going to miss you.
Bye.
Bye.